Dream to Reality Entertainment presents the Think Tank Podcast. Starring your host, he's a podcaster, photographer, filmographer, writer, conspiracy fascist, entrepreneur, explorer, color commentator, picky eater, beer ninja, secret agent, and the world's most influential humanoid, he is Ryan the Area Man. And now, coming to you, pre-recorded, from the very secretive D2R Studios, deep undercover in the world's deepest, darkest, most secure, Hadron Collider and nuclear bomb tested and approved Doomsday Bunker, here is Ryan the Area Man.
What's up, Dave?
Hello, sir.
Today, interesting little ditty we're going to do for everybody. It's a little different.
Jack and Diane?
Yeah, Jack and Diane. We are going to talk about Jack and Diane. So let me explain who Jack is. Jack is a guy... No, I'm just kidding. You sent me a text and said, you need to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to think tank it. And I said, yeah. All right. And I put it on and fell asleep. And then I tried it again a few days later, and I made it quite a bit farther into the movie, dozed off, and then had a nightmare from the movie. And then I got up, pissed, and turned it off and went to sleep because I didn't want to continue the nightmares. We are going to do... We're going to play this movie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the name in just a second here. And do... So there'll be times when we're not saying anything. There'll be times when we're... Maybe pause it and discuss something. And there'll be times where we're talking while the movie's going, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just kind of going to wing it. But it's an interesting movie. It's on Netflix at the moment.
Yeah, let me tell you my story, too.
All right, you tell me your story, and then we'll tell you the name of the movie.
It was, you know, late at night one night. It was like almost midnight or something, looking for something to watch. And I saw this on there. I'm like, oh, I'll check this out. It looks pretty cool. And so I started watching it, and I got about maybe 5-10 minutes in, and the dog started going crazy. And now we live right by the Snappers, and there was a game that had just gotten out, so maybe they were, you know, there were people outside talking or something. So I was kind of playing it up to that. So I let him outside, and it's late, so I didn't want to let him just run around free willy-nilly because he'll bark and all that shit. Anyways, so I'm standing outside, just standing there watching the dog, and I heard some footsteps behind me, like someone was coming up to talk to me, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I turned around, and there was nobody there. So I was like, kind of freaked out, but I'm like, all right, whatever. So then I go back in and watch the movie, and there's parts in the movie that bring up like 100 million little words, and you can't see them, but then they change colors. Now, I play a weird game in my own head, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be blue. And then the light, it changed to blue. I'm like, oh, it's going to be red, and it changed to red. And the one time I was like, man, I think it's going to be orange. No, yellow. Orange. And it was orange. And the very next one was yellow. At that point, I turned it off because I was too freaked out. I really freaked myself out. I was like, what the fuck? Why am I, like, what's making me know these colors? Like, it was just weird. And so I had to watch, like, what did I watch? I think I watched Stand Up just to get my mind off of things. But it was, I was freaked out, man. You know, and then me and Joy started watching it, and we got about halfway through, and then she had to go to work. So,
I turned my mic off.
There you go.
Because I was chewing on something. I wanted to add then with the whole dog thing. When I was having, I'd watched the movie, started dozing off, having the nightmare with based on what this movie's about.
Right.
And that's what woke me up then was the dog barking randomly out of nowhere. And so I got up and, like, kind of looked around and see, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was afoot in the house that I know of. But it's weird that my dog would do that. Now, I have a fan going in the room, and the volume was really low, so I couldn't really hear what was being said in the movie. But I'm wondering if there's different pitches or something that, like, my dog picked up or something. It is really weird because... My dog doesn't just randomly bark in the middle of the night, just one little bark. And it was like a, it was like a warning bark. And that's what pulled me out of the nightmare dream, unless I was doing something in the nightmare, but then why didn't my wife wake me up, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? But something caused my dog to bark.
And you'd also talked about earlier off the air that you were kind of, your head was all foggy and shit.
Yeah, I had this really weird feeling in my head. It wasn't, and it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, because I don't think I've ever had it before. It was really weird, where you're kind of, I don't know, I guess maybe the closest thing I would say is, like, if you're high on something, like high on some sort of a drug, where, like, you turn your head, but, like, your eyes go slower than your head went or something, and you feel off. Something like that. It was like I was high. It was just weird. Or like if,
very weird.
You know, and I wasn't high that I know of. I didn't take anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't take sleeping. I don't take NyQuil or anything. And I don't know. It was just odd. And so the there's something weird with this movie that it's kind of fucked with both Dave and I as we're watching it. So what we're going to do, and I don't know how this is going to affect listeners by just hearing it or hearing us talk about it, but it's the movie's called, it's on Netflix, Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek Story. Okay, so if you want to go to Netflix and watch it for yourself, you can. We're going to watch it together. Let's see if anything weird happens, I guess, with us today. And we'll commentate on it and discuss whatever, because I think, obviously, the topic is very interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado, let's play the movie. So we'll get through the advertising for the films that produced it.
Right.
Companies. And let's see. Can I do full screen?
Yeah.
Full screen, but I'll hover over the pause in case we need to pause it.
That's fine. Oh, you got closed caption on, too.
Should I take that off?
Don't matter to me, none. Where's the popcorn?
Oh, we should have made popcorn, dude.
I'm just kidding. Didn't realize how many credits there were at the beginning of this shit.
Yeah, dude, there's credits.
A lot. I didn't realize how many there were.
Prologue.
Stan Romanek is the centerpiece of the most documented extraterrestrial contact story in the world, and the multitude of evidence he has collected over 13 years challenges conventional beliefs.
That's the movie making that sound, by the way, in case listeners think we're fucking around here. That's not us hitting the mic.
As you're about to see, the evidence is mesmerizing. What surprised us most, however, was Stan and Lisa's ability to overcome the gripping fear, emotional pain, and relentless ridicule experiencers encounter. Being abducted must be harrowing, but so is the isolation that constantly follows the misunderstood. And Stan is most definitely understood.
Misunderstood.
What's that?
Understood.
Misunderstood. We can't have full knowledge all at once. We must start by believing. Then afterwards we may be led on to master the evidence for ourselves. Thomas Aquinas, theologian.
Okay. Oh my god, I'm shaking like a leaf.
That's the voice of Stan, by the way.
I hope I can get this. I hope this is working. Please be working. Please be working. Okay, I gotta calm down. Mark, wait until you see this. You're gonna have a frickin' canary. Okay. Alright. I am on my way up to the mountains to take some videotape to show Lisa. And it is December 27th, I believe. And I was, I believe this is Jewel, and, oh my god, I'm shaking. Saw something kind of out of the corner of my eye, just skirting power lines. It was tilted and straightened out and shot straight up into the air. And, okay, let me get a better view of where I am. Okay. Here's the power lines. And if you look, oh, where is it? Where'd it go? Son of a bitch, I hope I didn't lose it. Okay. Pull over.
So on the screen is what he has video of, and it's like a little silvery black metal thing floating around in the ceiling or in the sky.
Right. And on screen now, it's a list of all the incidences he's had. 195, over 195.
Yeah, ever since his first encounter.
In December of 2000.
He's documented everything.
It's crazy how many things he's had. It seems like people that have one, they don't just have one. They have
many.
Several. And it's
right.
Continual. Makes you wonder how these people are being chosen.
Right.
Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I was talking about when I guessed the colors.
I actually noticed it as I was turning into, come up to Daniels Park. Just kind of caught out of the corner of my eye and didn't really pay much attention to it. But I really got a good glimpse of it as I was coming up the...
On the screen is a red glowing orb.
To the top of Daniels Park. And I could see the light emanating from the from whatever this thing was on the ground, blinking on the ground. It lit up the whole area.
What's cool is they have pictures of some other people.
There's the thing that's been following me. Oh, shit, what is that?
Yeah. Look at that, it's so close right here. Where did it come from? I don't know.
What's weird about this is it's like blinking a whole bunch of different colors.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So they slow down the shot and you can see it beam down to the ground.
Wow. It's really weird.
Now, this picture I've seen on the internet before.
And this is a bunch of, like, so it's going to go through a bunch of pictures that he's taken, or screenshots from video that he's taken,
mm-hmm.
of these different objects.
And that looks like the similar video or picture of the image from before.
Right.
Sorry. This one's kind of shitty, though, the triangle-looking one. That could just be, like, anything.
Bird mm-hmm. wings. I don't know, there is some stuff in this movie that's slightly questionable. But
I can't tell you what this is. I can't. I have to convince myself of what I keep seeing. Thank God there's lots of other people that see it too.
And this part was kind of trippy. So this here, what you're hearing is this music, basically, and on the screen is all these scientific equations and shit that he wrote while he was either doing, like, sleep therapy or if he just woke up in the middle of the night drawing shit.
But he doesn't even know what he's writing?
Right. And one interesting thing, the very first one they showed was the Drake equation, which shows how many civilizations of alien is out in the world. He had it right, but then his version is multiplied by 100, meaning there's 100 other alien civilizations we don't know about.
Wow.
I don't know what the fuck this is. That one didn't make any sense to me.
Because over the years, Stan's drawn
hundreds of drawings in sleep regression and in dreams.
That's weird, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But does he know any... He doesn't know what these are, what these things
are. He has no idea what any of it is.
hard to even describe what's on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part where you'd actually have to watch for yourself, but obviously it's only a small section there, so we're keeping it. What color do you?
Blue.
Mm-hmm. So we've done green, red, and blue.
Yesterday when I had the sighting over the... over my work, actually, when my boss first saw it. That night, something must have happened because I woke up in the morning and I had...
So he's got sketches of the beings that visited him.
And the only one had like a huge... Like, one was a girl.
I noticed this, actually.
And it had this big giant necklace.
But I noticed that I had sores around my wrists, like I was been roped or had been handcuffed or something. Okay. And this was, it's healed amazingly fast.
Yeah, it's pretty weird how he had all these rope burns and or markings and they're gone almost the next day. And all of his markings are very, very strange.
He's had a lot of them too.
Yeah.
It says Stan was abducted several times over the next few years. So now it's going through pictures. He's got
Like that looks like his... like a circle with like a cross almost.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, same thing. He's got two dots.
And that was on his side. This is like
this looks like the flux capacitor.
Yeah, that looks like claw mark almost.
Yeah,
which is weird. There's a giant bruise on his
with the three dots right there.
A bloody nose.
Yeah, his nose was all kinds of fucked up. Three dots in a line. Another circle one. Another three dots like a flux capacitor.
And he's got these all dated too, so. On October 7th, 2003, woke up outside again. Doors locked. What did it say?
Doors locked, bleeding, bloody nose, and pissing blood.
Right, which is weird. Then it goes, we checked the surveillance camera that was installed weeks earlier. You can see something beamed the side of the house and took out the camera.
This is the part that really kind of got me like, what the fuck?
It's fucked up, dude.
So you see his outside camera, and you see what I'm guessing would be like a house light or something on the side of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it goes for a little while. There's nothingness. You know, just see that. Then a light shows up, almost like a spotlight that's moving around in weird fashion. Some noises. And then the camera kind of cuts out. You can see the light on the camera. And then, yeah, the light, the camera just kind of goes out. Now, the next day, picture of the house. Now, this is what's really trippy. Pause it for a second.
Yeah.
So you can see the house. It looks like it was washed in a circular or almost like a spotlight was on there, and it's super
white.
It's
like if you took a pressure washer and we're doing like circular motion, but only specifically washed one circle of the siding.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, siding gets dirty, but there's a circle right around this camera. So it's like...
Oh, it goes all the way down.
It does go down, mm-hmm. like a light would do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you took a pressure washer and did a circle, you'd have a clean circle and the rest would be dirty. You'd be able to tell where you did it.
Right.
This is like if you took a light from, or even a pressure washer from up high and shot downwards mm-hmm. at your siding, the water rushing down outwardly, like a light would also right. do, would do this. It's very interesting.
It is crazy.
I'll hit play again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it is very odd. What would cause that? You know?
Don't know.
We see a light,
mm-hmm.
but...
And it says the very next day later, a company shows up and just changes the siding on his house. Now, Stan called his landlord. The landlord's like, I didn't hire nobody to change nothing.
We talked about this part in a previous episode, too. Remember? We covered this particular story.
Yeah, they talk about...
But this is like the actual documentary on it now.
Yeah, and they talk about how the company that put the siding up is not even a real company.
Yeah, it says, Stan later talked to his landlord. He never hired anyone to change the siding.
That something happened and...
And the company that did the installation does not exist.
This one's crazy, too. Says, taken again, 5-9 of 2006. This time they fixed my knee, and he found another crop circle, or circle in the grass. The knee part, I'm kind of curious if they could do that to my knees.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Bloody nose.
And on his knee is
like four or five?
Yeah, five circles in a straight line.
The swimming was gone. The reasoning was gone. Everything was gone, and I could run up and down stairs. It was the creepiest thing.
So if you lose power when you're six, the next time everything's going to be fine?
I hope so.
We don't know. It's just really on. We don't know.
No, where'd you get the holes? It's a pattern, right? I mean, it's right in the line.
It was there when I woke up at 3 o'clock.
Well, I don't know what those, you know, those lesions are on your leg. I mean, there's such a pattern that this, you know, it's hard for me to cover this from any, you know, insects or anything like that. More likely, I don't know, it could be the pressure. There's no ribbons or anything on that immobilizer.
But the immobilizer's gone. It just disappeared. I can't find it anywhere.
It just disappeared.
It's gone.
They found his knee brace later that evening that was charred and burned and taken apart.
Where do you live? I'm going to go investigate.
That's also really weird.
I don't know. But anyway, the exam is fine today.
Orange.
I was about to ask you what color, Dave.
Mm-hmm. This one's weird. So this is an EVP session at his house.
Starseed, it's time.
They played the EVP back at 13%, and that's what they heard.
That's fucking odd.
Now they're filming inside the house late at night, 12 in the morning, and they see a shadow person walk between him and this lady, which you can see, and it's right there.
Yeah. That's weird, too. There's a picture of the shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
Moving. Like, yeah, they're stills, but it's existing. It's there. Cats are having a cow. When I go see what their issue was, I could see the shimmer was
playing with the cats.
Yeah.
This one here's got the thing holding the remote.
He's in his office when he heard a loud noise in the next room. Went there and
sees the shadow person walk right in front of him.
It's really odd.
Yellow.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The, I don't know. Because part of this is, you could Photoshop all this shit too. And what would be the point though? Of all of this?
I don't know.
You know?
So this is the weird shit here.
They move. Oh, look at it. He got,
he got jumped riding his bike to work and they told him that he needs to keep his mouth shut. Twice. Two different days. Same thing.
They broke his nose, I'm guessing?
Yeah. And You Can't Hide is found all over his computer. Everything else in his computer was wiped out. All it is You Can't Hide.
That's really weird.
Like, the desktop was called You Can't Hide. They put a picture of his house, and it says You Can't Hide.
Today is May 5th, 2005. We have problems with our speakers buzzing all the time. And I wanted to let you see in here for yourself.
Can you hear it?
Once again.
I can hear it.
And there's no power. No power to his radio.
I'd like to know how the hell they do that.
Wow.
Now this is weird. All his medications that he got from the doctor were melted. And the next couple shots are there's pill bottles melted.
Whoa.
Did you fall asleep in that part?
I was in and out.
Yeah.
The part where I started having the nightmares is coming up when we'll talk about it when we get there. But
see, now, this shit you can do on your own. A lot, like, some of the stuff you can, sometimes you can't. Purple.
It's really weird, Dave, that you can fucking get these goddamn colors.
And then I stopped here because I was scared. I was like, what the fuck? Now, everyone's seen orbs when they've taken pictures. They see weird things. This shit's weird. Now, that's not... That's too big to be a laser pointer.
Oh, my God. There it is.
You know?
Oh, my God.
So, those cats were acting weird, so in the backyard. And there's a red orb.
Holy shit.
And it's moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one.
The webcam on his computer to operate a motion detector, and there's a red orb moving across the room.
Now, they do it in negative, so you can see it better. And the fluidity of it, it's hard to... That one went right in front of him while he was talking to the camera. See it?
Mm-hmm.
And then it left a spot on the wall.
See?
He woke up because there's ringing in his ear, and he looks at the camera from the backyard at that time, and there's an orb.
Flies from the sky, and then kind of flies around his house, like it's checking
really
shit
weird,
out.
Dude. And when you put it in that, they embossed. Like,
yeah, you can really see it.
Now, at the same time, in the house, there's...
There it is.
And there's his orb in his tree floating around in the tree.
That's the same freaking orb. I gotta go over here and see if I can get it better. It's the craziest thing. There it is. There it is, there it is. I'm gonna zoom in.
What do you suppose that is, Dave?
I don't know, man.
All right, I think this is the part where I saw this shit.
So all right, pause it and we can read it. So it's July 17, 2003, 11:50 p.m. Kids just went to bed. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Peeping Tom again. I did what Clay suggested and set up a camera, walked away and taped this. Taped Boo? So the issue I have with this shot is he looks out the window. You can see him right there, look out. And then he gets spooked and runs away. Oh, no, he just runs away. Kind of gayish. Now he's going to go to bed, he says. There's enough time for him now to walk from where he's at now.
What was that giant flash?
I don't know.
See what I mean? That's almost like he could stop the camera and restart it.
Mm-hmm. But he had enough time to go put on a mask and just kind of peek his head up the window.
And so this is the part that shortly after this segment of the movie is where I started. I dozed off and then this shit started. So, like, it comes up from below, looks around, looks like it's in fucking alien head, but it's kind of... It's pixelated in a way, because this is, I believe, night vision.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just sitting there, looking around, and then kind of just drops back down. I think it does it again, right?
Yeah, it does.
Slowly back up. Never more than what would be the nose level of a face, and then back down.
Sounds a little bastard.
And then he comes back in, so it's not him doing it.
Oh, man, what is that?
Now, his reaction is...
Not necessarily. He still could do it, editing-wise.
Editing-wise.
He can make it look like it was a continuous shot, which it looks like, but...
Now, walking over to the door like that and kind of, like, jumping, like, he mm-hmm. looks down and, like, jumps. Oh, what is it? I mean... You could fake that, but at the same time, it kind of seemed... I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know if that's how I would react if I saw what looked to be like a fucking alien or something.
Yeah, I would seriously try and catch it or go up and talk to it, do something, because no one... Like I'm doing. I'm
I
up
think
the
I
part,
would swing a bat at it, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to put a part of his video. I would want to capture the fucking thing and be like, look, I caught this motherfucker. Here it is. Like, shh, what the fuck? Video, you can fake that shit, dude. That's where I'm skeptical. Like, I was up to this movie. I was like, holy shit, this is real. And then I saw this, and I'm like, now you lost a lot of credibility with me. You know what I mean?
But wait, there's more.
I know there is.
There's a lot more.
I know.
And with seeing these faces in different places, and this is where I think, because that initially, because my wife was watching at this point.
My wife!
She's like,
I have to have a
She's
time.
Like, Oh my God, you actually believe, like, you know, at this point, she's like, you're not seriously, like, think this is real. And I was kind of dozing in and out before this, but I was awake for this part. And I kind of was just like, ugh. And, you know, then shortly after, about 10 minutes from now, after this segment's done, that's when I fell asleep and started having those nightmares. So the dog barked, which is really odd. The timing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So let's keep watching.
You never know when they will appear. Now, here's where you get your stills that you were talking about. So there's a shot of his back deck, and you can see a very tiny one with no nose or mouth. There's another one on the other side of the deck. Very skinny, small body. Here they've got pictures, and they zoom, like, brought the light up, and you can see it in the background.
All right, now that, to me, looks like a statue.
Yep, I agree.
That they set in their garden. And this same statue could be placed in
anywhere
those
other
pictures,
yep.
And also could have been used to raise up.
But no, see, the head is smaller. This picture, the head is smaller than the other one.
Okay. Take that alien mask I got, put it on top of this fucking thing, and you could have used that for the door one.
Right.
I was looking through the door.
Right.
Point is, you could do it, as long as you stayed low enough and had a... Because the head never got above what would be the nose.
Right.
Well, these other ones, you're seeing an entire body. That looks like a statue. The other ones are just a face, or kind of like the upper part of the body. Real thin and real small. Okay.
Now, this one's weird.
That one's odd.
Because it's a picture of a field, and you see...
But what is that?
It's another one.
It's like waving, and that one's just standing. They don't focus on that one. They focus on that.
And they're kind of really misshapen, almost like it was drawn in. So a few times, strange images were found on my camera. So here's a zoom-in picture of the face, just the eyes, just the mouth and chin.
That's the actual picture.
Yeah, it's an actual picture.
And so it's like, I think he's implying here that he found these on his digital camera.
Yeah.
He didn't take them.
Yeah, exactly.
They were found. So it's almost made it seem like an alien picked up his camera and started taking selfies.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen. Grandpa Gray in bright flashes of light woke up on kitchen floor at 1:35 a.m.
Oh, well. Oh, my God. What the fuck is that?
See how much
Holy
bigger
shit.
The head is? Now, here you see the head
God,
and
what's it doing?
Upper torso.
Holy shit.
Oh why don't you throw something?
And it slowly squeezes back.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
His reaction seemed very fake there.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
That doesn't seem real. You would throw something. You'd open the door. You'd try and go after. You'd do something. Or you'd run the fuck
Holy
away.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Can't see it anymore. Where'd it go?
No, that's very fake sounding.
I can't believe that. I can't believe what I just freaking saw. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Wasn't that pop-up?
That's amazing.
The voice reminds me of an actor that we know.
The shitty actor?
Mm-hmm. This is weird also, but we did this with FAYK News.
Nine. More options. Press zero. Save. Urgent message.
I apologize for being so forward. It did not take us long to get your phone numbers. Our surveillance is mostly for passive monitoring, but it does come in handy. I cannot tell you who I am for safety reasons, but I can tell you that your perceptions of Stan Romanek and his experiences are real.
Okay,
as
so that
you have probably noticed, Stan is slightly different. The way he thinks, the way he perceives the world, seems to be a little more advanced than usual. The interesting thing is that Stan has no idea who he really is.
Okay, pause it. So that voicemail was left on the filmmaker's voicemail. Not Stan's, the filmmaker's voicemail.
Right. Which... you can go to Google. You can Google,
Google Speak and change the voice.
Yeah, you type in something and it will talk. Okay.
Yeah.
So it can be done, and it's very easily done, and you can get it to say anything you want.
Yep.
So Stan could have done this.
Right. They could have done themselves for the film just to sell the narrative.
Right.
So I, again, don't believe in this one.
Right.
Even the next part of this, with when they actually have a phone conversation in a little while.
And here's another one. This was on August 7th. That's today, dude. 2004. Recording this on August 7th. It's weird that we would see that.
That is 13 years ago.
47. I always use 47 as like a
see,
my
I use
go-to
46
number.
Is my number.
I don't... Yeah, but I always, it's always like 47 something, you know, I always use that number for some odd reason.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird. All right, well, let's continue. So the weird shit's still coming.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, hit the button.
One old message.
Hello, Stan and Lisa. My intention is not to scare or alarm you, but to warn you. It is great that you are back in Colorado, but Colorado Springs was not a good idea. It seems you have moved into their backyard. Now it is easy for them to get to you. I know how stubborn you are, Starseed. But please, heed this warning and know that Lisa and the children heir to his call, so now listen, Starseed. You know you are different. Follow your instincts and stay alert. This is too important. Soon it will all be revealed. And Starseed, do not be afraid of what you are.
So they're saying he's Starseed?
Yeah. And when they did the EVP earlier, it also had Starseed.
Yeah, when they played the EVP.
Yeah, Starseed. It's time. So, I was going to say something. I can't remember. Fuck.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just keep playing.
It says, someone called and I finally got to talk to Strange Caller. Why would you just happen to be recording? Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Oh, I don't know what I was going to say.
Who is this?
Oh, I am is not important. But let's just say it's someone with your interests in mind.
My interests in mind? If you have my interests in mind, why don't you send money?
Money. Money can be tracked. You're smart. You will be fine. Just stop being so stubborn.
Stubborn?
They're tracking us. I have to go. Good luck, Starseed.
Who is this?
Pause it.
Hello?
So, she mentioned in the last call, the voicemail, that he's in their backyard now. They can get to him. She just said, they're tracking us. Who is she talking about, other aliens? Or is she talking about the government?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't finish the movie, so it might tell us the answer later, but I'm just very curious.
I just want to say, too, since we're discussing things that seem suspect, this idea, okay, we could do this easily. We could pre-record the typed-in British accent audio that's all computerized and have it on a soundboard where you push the button, and then you would have your short lines that you would say.
My dialogue.
Yeah. Hello? Hello, Starseed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could play that one, then you would say, who is this? What? And I could play my next one.
Why don't you give me money?
Yeah, it's short enough where wouldn't you be like, if you were him, you would be like, you know.
Why are you doing this to me?
You would ask more questions. You'd be more pissed off. Especially, it's not like this is the first time you ever got a call. You've seen orbs, you've got videos, you've got fucking aliens in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
All this shit. Don't you think you would handle a little differently? You'd get to the point where you're like, freaking the fuck out. Why aren't you calling the cops on a regular basis?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I mean, I'm sure,
I don't know,
with what they said earlier and how they get ridiculed, maybe he did call the cops and they're all thinking, well, we are, he's fucking nuts.
Right.
And it's just fucking saying he's crazy, you know?
It's, I don't know. Just the way he handles, the way he sounds, it doesn't even sound like, it sounds like if you were going to fake it. That's what it sounds like to me. If I was going to make this a movie and do it on my own, I would consider how fake it sounds, and I wouldn't necessarily, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like he's overacting. Being
you would need to do it in a way where, so you would write the script and then say, now we need to adjust this because you wrote this script and it sounds fake. Because now, how would you actually react to it? You know what I mean?
Right.
You write the script, then say, now you walk it through and say, if you were to get a call and it was this, would you really say these things?
Right.
Or how would you actually react? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's also done so, like, the computer doesn't start talking until he's quiet.
Right.
This wouldn't happen in real life. He would be probably talking over.
Yeah, for sure.
And shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know. But this
you
is,
and I talk over each other all the time, and I'm looking at your eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is.
It's very suspect.
They should have done it. And that's assuming this is all faked now.
Mm-hmm.
If this is actually real, I find it very suspect because
right.
It seems so fake.
Now, in the write-up of the movie on Netflix, it says, Stan's not asking for us to believe that he was abducted all these times and that this shit happened. He just wants us to believe what if. And that's kind of what you and I stand for, is the what if side. So
right.
Going with it.
So did he fake all this shit to get people to question alien?
Maybe this is all reenactments. You know what I mean?
But it doesn't say that.
I know it doesn't.
You know what I mean?
I know.
He's presenting this as though
it's
actual audio
happen.
Recorded, right. Actual video that he's recorded, actual pictures that were taken,
mm-hmm.
All that.
Right.
So, interesting. But I keep looking over at the alien head because it's...
Waiting for it to move.
And I put it there for a reason because I think it's funny. A lot of what we talk about here, you know, we're being watched by an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Not really its fucking head.
Right.
Mask. Anyways, let's continue. Read it.
12/6/2008. For a few weeks, Audrey or someone has off and on called all of us. We sometimes talk for up to 2 hours. Today it happened again. This time there was a strange sound that made me pass out. This is interesting too.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was around this point that I think the dog barked.
I think it's reminded too.
In the background,
like a mumbling.
Something. Yeah.
Are you still there, Heidi?
Yes, I am.
Now, who's Heidi?
What the
that's
hell was that?
Where the fucking dog started barking?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Because when I
that
woke up,
really
there was
sound.
Lots of, like, these on screen. But the sound was so low, I couldn't hear this over the fan.
You hear that?
And then
fan?
I woke up, and my head was fucked up. It was really weird not watching it back, because I don't
just
recall any
on.
Of this.
He just passed out.
Hello? Heidi, I'm here. Did we lose him?
Alright. Now, I'm kind of weirded out because it was after those pictures of the aliens in the shots that I fell asleep, started having the weird nightmare type thing. The next thing that woke me up was the dog. It's been about 10 minutes movie time since those pictures. It wasn't a long time span that I was asleep either.
Right.
But when that dog barked and I got up, my head felt weird. Like, you remember what I was saying earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be that sound that did it then.
Yeah, because...
And I don't remember any of this, but I got up, I looked out the door, nothing was afoot,
right.
Went in, pissed, came back in, and I turned off the movie. So anything that happens now, I have no idea.
Now, when I watched it the first time, yes, the dog was going crazy and whatnot, and I turned it off at this point as well. Watching it now, like, I could feel the hairs in the back of my neck stand up when that noise came through. So it's definitely some type of sound that they must have done some research on to fuck with people's equilibriums or their mind.
I almost want to go get one of the dogs, bring them down here, and then replay that sound and see how they react. Not like put the headphones on them, but just kind
of
have it and have the headphones, like, maybe faced out to them.
Right.
Play it and see how they react. Like, they, like, bark, they look around,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? Because you can have dog whistles that we can't hear,
right.
But dogs can hear it. So they can hear different tones than us. I don't know, there's something really odd about this. I find this strange.
Yeah.
Even though I wouldn't say we debunked a lot of it, just a lot of it kind of seems fake.
Hokey, yeah.
So how would you even obtain audio that would make me feel like that? You know what I mean? That's the
weird
part.
Shit. If we Googled it right now,
how
I'm sure
could,
we could find something.
Where I would... It's not like the sound woke me up. The dog bark woke me up, and in my head feels like something had happened. It's fucked up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. This is what makes me kind of question
what's really
going on.
You still heard it, even though you were sleeping in some kind
of... But why would it do that to my head?
just like it just gave me a weird...
But we didn't just pass out from hearing it now.
No, well, it's...
You know what I mean? I don't think...
We're not starseed, though.
Yeah, but what caused that last night in for me? When I woke up from this nightmare from... And it sounds stupid. A 30-something-year-old guy had a nightmare. It was weird, though. It was like these things were chasing me in this dream. And it was a short period of time. And this is no bullshit.
Right, no, I know.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's very fucking odd.
Stan? Let me bring Stan back in, okay, Heidi?
Listen to this.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Are you there, Heidi?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, April, is Stan there?
Yeah, he's on the floor. He passed up.
Hello?
Victoria.
Yes.
Please tell Starseed we are sorry. We did not mean to affect him that way. It is the option transition into the next step.
I think it would do that if you put your phone up to, like, a computer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Alright, the children. What color are they?
I don't know.
Purple. Back to purple? Oh, yeah, because you turned it off. This is really weird, too. Now, that's a really harsh line right there, Dave. So it's a picture. So it basically said that a cat was in the backyard.
He was taking pictures of his cat.
And
this girl jumps off from behind the
grill. Right. And then so the cat was over by the cooler that he's got there. And in kind of the same spot that the alien was seen in a previous picture. And this looks like if you have one of those cutout heads of a, you know, like people hold up those cardboard faces of somebody.
Yeah.
And you hold it in front of you. That's what it looks like just because of the harsh line. There. That's what it looks like to me. Really big eyes, though. But it's a girl. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
They were on the phone, him and Heidi were on the phone, and the call was interrupted by a girl. Call that she received?
No.
Right, and how would you do something like that? Like with the audio to
distort it so much. You could change it high pitch. You know, oh, Jesus. Popping my piece. You know, you can change the pitch so super high and you add in static and shit. We do enough quick editing to throw static in the back of anything. And nobody was talking. It's not like they talked in between them. It was just, hey, we're going to have this conversation and then this girl's going to say weird shit to us, really high pitched voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very simple to do, you know.
Okay, so where are we at now? Looking at the pictures, we noticed we had captured a little girl looking in the window. Remember what it said before that?
Lisa, Sarah, and I were taking pictures, and we...
Okay, looking at the same pictures, noticed we had captured a little girl looking in the window. Okay, so we'll play this now. Same spot the alien was at. This is what's fucking stupid about this, is why would... Now, he's posing in the picture, and right down in the corner, there's a... I don't know what the hell that is, but...
That's the little girl face again.
All right, and there's a little footprint there that they molded.
Flowers. You keep getting flowers left at the house, too.
Handprints.
With only four fingers.
Yeah, and I can't read what it fucking says, but... He's talking to Victoria on the phone when the little girl's voice interrupted our call.
Yes?
Hi.
We can hear you, is this Kioma?
Kioma, hello. Kioma, are you there? Oh, sweet little girl, we can hear you. Can you talk louder?
Hello? I think somebody's playing a joke on us.
You're silly.
Why am I silly? Okay, if this is Kioma, when are we going to see you in person again?
Oh my gosh!
Hello?
Now, oh yeah, pause it. You have a son.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any girl kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you know of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If some random girl calls you and says, hey, Daddy, you're going to be like, hello, yes, hi, honey. No, I'm sorry, you're not going to act and respond that way.
Mm-hmm. Unless this is like a continuing thing, but why would you say... You know, so really what I'm getting here is that Stan claims, or isn't claiming, the story behind all this is he's a fucking alien, he's fathered children that are on another planet, these aliens or whatever, and they're calling him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I think we're getting at here. So
this is some weird child support payment program is what this is all about.
No, what it is he's trying, he's a loser, wants to feel like he's more. So some people go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Other people pretend like they're fucking alien and fathered alien babies and now has all these experiences.
So
I guess that's where I'm at this moment.
Yeah,
my opinion
could
change, but that's kind of what it seems like is going on here.
And depending on if we have time or not, I know we don't like doing this too much on the show, but I kind of want to do some Google searching on this Dan Romanek to see baby pictures of him. Like, is this some character that they just created for the show?
Right.
You know, this is like some Blair Witch shit that they're saying is real and it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Could be. So, back to the movie here. On March 27, 2010, a strange-looking little girl shows up show up at Aztec UFO conference and gave me flowers. She said, I love you, Daddy, and ran away. And I believe there's a picture. Maybe I didn't go to sleep yet then. I did get up and piss while the movie was playing. So,
but
I did see at one point there was a girl sitting in a chair at a conference. It looked like just a picture, right? Or did you?
I didn't go this far. Remember, I didn't get this.
Well, this is all sounding familiar, and I could have sworn I turned off the fucking movie. But remember when I logged in to Netflix here to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
How far along it was?
Yeah.
It was like way further in. I don't know. I thought I turned this movie off though.
Apparently not.
Was it playing through my mind?
Maybe.
I almost want to revisit last night now because it seems really odd. Maybe I watched it for a little bit longer after I went piss before I turned it off. Right there. That's the picture I remember seeing.
Oh, look at her eyes.
Yeah, and there's something really weird with her eyes. The face is odd. It's very like Klingon kind of without the wrinkles on the forehead.
They just happen to have a picture of her?
Yeah, that's questionable. There are many truths of which the full meaning cannot be realized until personal experience has brought it home. John Stuart Mill, philosopher.
Thanks, John.
Glad he could contribute. Tribute, sorry. Tribute! Alright, next section here.
One thing that I think strikes a lot of people, and it certainly did me when I met Stan, is he's just a normal guy.
He's almost like a barometer. And, and when things around him change, it really affects him.
My first thought was that he was highly sensitive, highly aware. What I would think of as the artistic personality.
Answered questions quickly, appropriately.
Christopher Lloyd?
I was impressed.
Kind of.
He seemed like a normal guy.
average person, nothing unique.
They're a normal family.
These are all
therapists. I saw their family life.
Visited.
They all seemed very honest and very sincere and down to earth.
He wears socks, he wears shorts, he wears shirts. You know, it's...
That's his wife.
It's not like an abductee is somebody who wears a tinfoil hat. They don't have moon boots. You know, he's very normal. But he has abnormal things happening to him, around him, but more for him. You know, it's pushing him to do something very important, not only for himself, but in a way for humanity.
Well, I grew up in a military family, and you know, we moved around quite a bit. Not as much as most, but I had the added discomfort of suffering from severe dyslexia, and in those days they didn't know much about my learning disability. And they don't even think it's a learning disability anymore, but I was always put in classes with, you know, in special ed classes with the retarded kids. I remember I had a teacher make fun of me in front of the class and then grab me and throw me in a closet and lock me in a closet and said, this is where we put retards. And, yeah, it was terrifying. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience. And I had, you know, I had gang members around me all the time because of the neighborhood we lived in. I had the Crips on one side, the Bloods on the other, and they were constantly fighting amongst themselves. And I was always, and I have stab wounds and stuff like that. I was always caught in the crossfires. And they used to pick on me a lot because, number one...
Okay. Stab wounds. So retards are getting stabbed.
In a closet.
He getting stuffed in a closet. But could this... I'm trying to think. So those pictures of wounds from earlier, obviously he was an adult in those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But could you do the marks on yourself and... You know what I mean? Could you do that to yourself? Because those don't look fake.
Yeah, for sure.
And just tolerate the pain? I mean, yeah, no.
I did that when I was in high school. I cut myself and burned myself. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he could do it himself. Some of those placements, he'd have to have someone else do it. So maybe some weird sexy kink stuff that him and his sister, mom, and wife doing to do?
I don't know. This is a weird movie.
I know. The whole thing is fucking weird.
The only white kid. Number two, I had a learning disability.
No, you were a retard. You said it yourself.
I had to learn to fight because of it. Everybody beat me up, and then I started beating everybody else up, including the principal of the high school I went to. So it wasn't good. I was kind of a punk. And just because I was kind of angry at my life, you know, because of all the constant violence and all the, you know, having to deal with everything that I had to deal with, I was frustrated. I calmed down somewhat and just kind of found my own way.
When you look at that past, did it make you a better person? How did it help you?
I honestly think certain people are chosen for certain things, and I had to go through what I went through so I could understand the human condition. So the role that I play now, without that understanding, I couldn't do. I couldn't, you know, the message that I have, I couldn't give the message out correctly, I believe.
What's your message, homeboy?
There's nothing out there other than us.
You know, when I was growing up, my opinion of UFOs was, I thought people were crazy if they believed in that stuff. You know, I just didn't believe it. There was no reason to. I didn't even pay attention to it. I was in my own little world, my own little reality bubble, and that's the way it was. I was taught that there's nothing out there other than us. God made us, and that's it. And so when this big event happened, it switched everything around. It literally took me a good 2 years to come to terms with what had happened. And stuff continued to happen through that time. And what makes it so different is when this stuff happened, there were other people around. I wasn't by myself like a lot of these that you hear about. Most of the stuff that happens with me, even now, only happens with a lot of people around. So
You know, it took a lot to shake my tree, but when it shook violently, and it changed everything.
December 27th, 2000, the tree shakes.
My first official sighting happened December 27th of 2000. I met my wife online. She lived in Nebraska. I lived in Colorado. I wanted her to come visit me, so I thought, you know, good way to do it. I was going to videotape the surrounding scenery and the skyline of Denver and, you know, send her a little care package with flowers and chocolate, stuff like that. I decided to go the back way up to the mountains, and there were cars pulled off to the side of the road. Must have been 20, 30 cars pulled off.
Okay, he's at 20, 30 cars. Not a single car was in that shot.
Not in the shot, no.
Yeah, and they were staring at something above the power lines that were off to my left, or I should say off to the south. And when as I was driving up, I'm looking at, trying to see what they were looking at. It looked like some kind of weird silver hot air balloon. And I'm thinking, that thing's going to crash into the damn power lines. And as I got closer, it's like, wow, isn't that the strangest hot air balloon ever? I got my video camera.
It's probably
started,
a weather balloon.
You know, trying to
videotape
this thing. As soon as I rolled down my window, this thing acted like it noticed me somehow. And it was actually tilted forward, and it was moving along the power lines, and it reorientated itself and literally shot to about 1,000 foot. Before that, it was maybe 100 foot off the ground, just right above the power lines. And again, 30-foot diameter, this thing wasn't small. You know, I was fighting within myself, you know, am I really seeing this? And if I am really seeing this, it has to be some kind of military thing, but how can the military have anything like this? You know, are they really that much more advanced? And blah, 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 blah. And then I get a hold of Lisa, you know. I call her, and I explain to her, and I was upset.
He called saying, you're not going to believe this. I don't know what this is, but turn on your web camera.
I took the camcorder, and I put it on the screen, and I put the camcorder up to the web camera so she could see it.
I was very excited. And he was convinced he was insane. And I'm like, this is so cool.
And she believed in this stuff, and I didn't. So she kind of helped me calm down.
I mean, he was just so excited, but scared. You know, it was just that little boy in him where it's like, you're not going to believe this. And yet, it's like, I don't believe this. This is too weird. This is too scary. But this is really cool if this is what it is. You know, kind of a drama with him.
It took a lot to convince me that anything like that was even remotely real.
September 21st, 2001, a knock at the door.
2 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2:30. And they must have been knocking for a while because I'm a heavy sleeper, but they knocked long enough that it woke me up. And I thought, first thing I thought is maybe my friend ran out of gas and he had to walk back. Maybe it was the neighbor, they were drunk. I wasn't sure. Got up to answer the door, and I noticed as I, you know, start walking down the hall, my sister had already answered the door. And I looked past my sister, and there were three people standing outside. The first thing that popped into my head is, oh my God, they're here to rob us. They're going to rob us. And I'm yelling at my sister, don't let them in because they're going to rob us. And she's, as I get closer, I realize that she's, eyes are kind of just slightly open, mouth just wide open, and she's staring at the ceiling like she's still asleep or something. And I'm yelling at her, and she's not moving. And then when I get really close, I realize there's a female and two males. And I got to tell you, I was really scared. I mean, I was really scared because I had just come to the realization that UFOs were probably real. But I didn't really think about the fact that something had to be driving these UFOs. And that they might not be human. And then now I'm being confronted with this reality that there's something at my door that isn't human. And let me tell you, it was really quite disturbing to me. And right as I got to that realization, the female stepped forward. And for whatever reason, I could hear myself screaming in my head, but I couldn't. It wasn't coming out. And she grabbed my wrist. A thought popped into my head. You're okay, it's going to be okay. And the thought was not my thought. I didn't put that thought in there. It just appeared. And let me tell you, it must have freaked me out enough that I somehow snapped out of whatever trance they had me in. And there was a male on either side of me. And by the time we got outside to the balcony, I grabbed one of the males and I was going to literally throw him off the balcony. And I felt the light tap, like somebody was tapping the back of my head, and I woke up somewhere else.
I don't know. I mean, it's really bright. Mm-hmm. It's like really bright.
Where's the brightness coming from?
Do we know?
All around.
What do you call this?
Regression.
Kind of stuck to the wall.
Like hypnotist.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
What makes you think you're stuck to a wall?
I can't move my arms. I can move my head. I can move my body. But it's like I'm sucked or glued to the wall.
You know, you go to an amusement park and you those centrifugal force rides that spin around and you're stuck. That's what it felt like to me. I could, but it was incredibly intense.
Something around my wrist. I'm trying to get free. I can't get free.
Mm-hmm. And is it just around your left wrist?
Yeah, it seems to be around my wrist, but I don't think that's what's holding you down.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's connected to something, but it's not holding me down.
I could move my hands. I could kind of move my hand, move my feet a little bit, but I could not get free of this wall. And when I looked, it looked like it had quarter-sized copper pieces about their space, maybe a foot apart, all over the wall, just peppered the whole wall. And I had these copper bracelets on my ankles and on my wrists. And they had these tiny filaments, almost like hair-like filaments, that were going to the wall. And if I wanted to, I could have snapped them, but for some reason, I was stuck, so I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move.
Well, they're turning me over. They're, like, turning me around. And I can't seem to move very much. They're doing something to me.
And they turned me around, and they started doing something. My back that hurt, really stung really bad, like they were cutting me or something.
They're sticking it really far in my back.
Mm-hmm. How can you tell how far it's going in?
It hurts.
Mm-hmm. So you can feel it.
Yeah, but what's weird is she puts her arm on me and then relaxed a little bit.
And I felt another tap on the back of my head, and I woke up in the middle of the room on some kind of platform with a female standing right there. And she looked at me, tilted her head. Suddenly, an explosion of thought literally filled my head. It was so intense, it knocked me over, and I almost fell off the table. And when I came out of this shock, she stepped back. She quit doing whatever it was that she was doing. She stepped back as if to say, okay, you poor, stupid, little, insignificant thing, we're going to try this your way. Image after image, thought after thought, visualization after visualization just filled my head. It was then that I realized whatever this thing was, it was way more advanced than me.
He has that experience. He calls you up. What is that phone conversation?
Phone call was basically, I had the weirdest dream. He said, but it doesn't make sense because I have all the hairs all off my wrists and I have these sores on my back. I was trying to be the analytical one, you know. It's like there has to be a reason for it. It can't be that aliens came in and abducted you. And he's like, well, I know it was a dream. It was a dream. Aliens aren't real. And then he called me back because he's like, I'm going to go. And he called me back and he goes, it wasn't a dream. I know it wasn't a dream.
I fell apart. I started crying and shaking and freaking out. It's like, oh my God, because it made it real. It made this whole thing real. This really happened to me. You know, when Deborah took me through the regressions, I started reliving all the pain. I started vividly remembering everything, every nuance, every sound, every painful experience, everything that happened. The most profound thing that happened to me was the part that I started writing down these symbols that I had stuck in my head.
What point did they put something
she
in your butt?
She asked me, so what do you remember? I said, I have these symbols in my head.
I thought they were going that route when he said, they turned me around.
Things in my head. She goes, can you write them down? She gave me a big pad of paper, and I think a marker, and I just start.
I remember the symbols really clear.
How do you, can you describe them?
Oh, God, I could write them down for you. These are the images that that I got in my head.
The children.
My first abduction experience really was about, I think, seeing who I was, maybe seeing how I developed. I'm not sure. The abduction experiences after that seemed to involve reproductive stuff. They're really fascinated with our reproductive abilities and fascinated with our genetics for some reason. Or maybe they're manipulating our genetics. In my case, I think the latter is probably more true. Every time I'm up there with a woman, a human female. And usually it's the same one. Over the years, it's always been the same one.
It's really bizarre.
So are the two of you together or separately?
We are together. We're together.
Okay. And
we're side by side and we're being led into this other vehicle or room. Or
okay.
After they did whatever it was that they were doing, checking us out or whatever, they brought me and this woman into this room.
And then what happens next as you're taken into that room?
We're just sitting there, and then all these little kids. I don't know if they're kids. They're like little, they kind of look like kids.
Mm-hmm.
All these kids come up, and the lady's like starting to wake up, and she looks real happy, and she starts hugging them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looks at me, and I look at her, and then we're both really confused. And
mm-hmm.
They're just these kids, and they come hug my leg and hold my hand. And there were seven children all together. There were varying ages, varying sizes, varying, you know. Some of them looked more human, some of them looked less human, some of them had hair, some of them didn't. And I'm looking at these children, and I'll never forget.
Are they human children?
Every single time.
Unclear.
Every single time I talk about this. This one little girl comes up to me and hugs my leg. And I'm looking down at this beautiful little child hugging my leg, and I realize that this kid looks like me, and she's beautiful. But she's different because it's all about the eyes. She has these huge, oversized, almond-shaped, slanted, so blue, they're almost violet eyes. Beautiful blonde hair, and she's just clinging onto my leg like, please, please don't let me go. I don't want to leave who behind.
You don't want to leave who behind?
The babies.
The babies? What are you feeling right now, besides the fact that you don't want to leave them?
They're crying.
They're crying? What tells you that they're crying?
I can see them crying. They're reaching for me and they're making me go.
Mm-hmm. The children are making you go?
No. They're taking me away from them.
Stan basically was reliving his experiences. It wasn't even about remembering. And to sit there and watch as he physically experienced the pain inflicted on him was very hard. It was just heartbreaking to watch. The memories he did have.
Did the safe Lisa as his wife?
Mm-hmm.
His abductions and the woman that he remembered seeing her. He knew what she looked like, what she sounded like.
Oh my God.
Was hard for me. But during these regressions, it all just came really. It became a reality for me.
It became more of a reality on June 28, 2008. While speaking at an event in Colorado Springs, Stan noticed a woman in the audience who looked extremely familiar.
they kept looking at her and looking at her, and Lisa watched me, you know, looking at her. She goes, you know, what's up? And I said, I know her from somewhere. I mean, I don't know where I know her from somewhere. And then it hit me like a lead balloon, like a ton of bricks. She was the woman I was with all this time, every time I was taken. It was the same woman. And we became very close friends. And it got to a point where it was kind of hard for Lisa because we had this weird connection, me and Victoria, this bizarre, unnatural connection.
I was so wrapped up in the, you know, the case and learning about it and learning what my role was in it. And it
much better looking than his wife, I think. If I was him, I'd probably spend more time with her, too.
I wasn't focused on Lisa's feelings.
When he found Victoria,
they had a three-way.
That was really, really, really hard for me to deal with because I knew she was real. I knew she existed. And in some ways, I prayed that he never found her.
Because he was fucking her, and you had to deal with it because you're living a bullshit lie about aliens. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
For 6 years, I worried. What would happen to me?
Why?
Because Noe would love her.
As his wife. And then, when it happened...
You're his earth wife, bitch. Who cares?
All my fears started to, like, materialize. It was like this new courtship. It reminded me very much of when Stan and I met. The hours of conversations. And they had a connection via seven children that Stan and I didn't have.
There were some instances where Stan and I would have a deep conversation, be in a deep conversation, and it's like she couldn't put a wedge through us because we were so focused on this scenario that we were involved in and trying to learn more about it. So I think there was, you know, there was jealousy, but it stemmed from probably just knowing that Stan had had experiences with this woman, me, up there.
I gotta admit, of all these UFO things I've ever seen, she is probably the best looking, in air quotes, experiencer I've ever seen. If I was Stan, like I said, oh yeah, you were the one we have, you know what I mean? Like, bullshit. I don't buy it. I'm pretty sure you had an affair with this lady.
He was probably drinking.
You hid behind the fact that you have fucking alien kids.
Yeah.
Together or something. That's what I think.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Victoria and I mean, we had some rough spots where...
I don't know.
My jealousy and my anger was very evident to anyone in that house. We'd get together, and the two of them would disappear, and I would flip out. I mean, yeah. I would just be
disappear
furious.
Disappear in the bedroom, fuckity-fuck-fuck.
Because when I voiced my concern, it's, oh, you're imagining it. It's like, don't put it off that I'm... imagining anything. I see what's going on in my house, and I'm not okay with it.
I don't know how I would have acted, but she always held herself in complete poise in class. And I mean, there were a couple instances where she'd, you know, get, you know, you could tell she was hurt or bothered, especially if he and I would go off to the side and be in this deep conversation, and she'd be looking for him, and we're sitting out in the front yard talking.
Man, I hope I get to and have a deep conversation with my wife.
Yeah.
Not liking it, obviously, but understanding that here's these two people that were put together in these terrifying experiences.
Lady, I can't believe you're sitting here saying this shit right now.
To figure out what had happened.
Can you believe the bullshit?
I just wanted them to do it around everybody else, you know, not so closed off, so my jealousy wasn't... like
they're not
going to
fuck each other in front of everybody.
I wasn't worried constantly that tomorrow is the last day of my marriage.
What she has gone through is such a difficult...
Well, that's his Heidi.
And she's an experiencer also.
And she has
she looks like an experiencer.
Grace and keeping her head on and keeping her marriage together.
She looks like somebody who smokes a lot and drinks a lot.
I cannot tolerate liars.
That's what it says.
I have never doubted that my husband loves me more than anything else.
Is the camera getting closer to this lady's face?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd give my life to support him.
I feel like it could be her fucking mouth in a second.
I would never lie for him, but I will support him. I'll back him up when he tells his story, when it's true, and the events are accurate. Otherwise, I call him out on it. It's like, no, that's not when it happened. So,
can I interrupt you for that? Mm-hmm. For a minute? You just said you would never lie for him.
That's right, I won't.
To your core, that's who you are.
Absolutely.
So nothing that has happened in any way, shape, or form in his life and to you has been fabricated?
No. Nothing.
She blinked. She was lying.
Nothing that he has shared with you or anyone else is fabricated. I cannot tolerate liars. I cannot stand deception. If I thought standing was lying about any of this,
if you wholeheartedly believe the bullshit,
make any of it up.
Look at Hillary supporters.
Faster than anything.
They believe her bullshit and don't believe that she's fucking sane. Like, you know what I mean?
He's not lying. Stan, no.
This is
when you live with somebody and the person is undergoing trauma and the person, has physical contact. In other words, this isn't just downloading of aliens.
Okay, so she believes that he's telling the truth 100%. Everything's happening
his
to
wife,
him.
Yes, okay. Lisa.
And so does this bitch, too. So that's what she just said.
Yeah,
this
Paola.
Paola, Peyote. So here's the thing. People who are pathological liars.
See.
Okay. They actually believe 100% of the bullshit that they're saying so much that they believe it's real and true to their word.
I know this guy has a brother just like that. It's really weird.
In his mind, it's all right and true and real. When in actuality, none of this shit's real.
Are you describing me?
Yeah, I am.
You're an asshole.
I know. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like, he believes it so much that he thinks it's true, but it doesn't mean that it's true.
Right.
You know?
Hmm.
Like, look at all the kids that believed in Santa Claus.
Right. Most kids did, and eventually you grow up to realize it's not
but
real.
You believed it to be true.
But that doesn't make you a pathological liar.
No, I'm just saying, like, you believed it so much in your heart and your mind that you thought and believed that Santa Claus was real.
Yeah.
And then you found out
it wasn't. Every parent's a pathological liar is what you're getting at.
No, I'm not getting that. No, you're fucking up by what I'm
saying. No, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
So just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But what if... Okay, once again we're going, what if? What if everything we've seen is not been fabricated and bullshit? It's a stretch for me.
I
can't fathom that this world, this universe exists and we're the only ones in it.
I agree.
I have a hard time believing that. But at the same time, are we being visited? Have we been visited? Are they walking amongst us? Are they what... Everybody has pictures of little gray aliens, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they actually look like, or do they look more like fucking...
lizard people.
Something from, like, District 9, that movie, or something, you know what I mean? Like, you never saw that movie, but...
No. Or look at The Arrival, they were like a giant
Independence
octopus.
Day, alien.
Yeah.
You know, these other... I mean, who knows
predator,
what the fuck... Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who knows? But... if I was going to make a docu-type movie on this subject, you would go about it in the way they're going about it.
Yeah.
And you would write things and have evidence the way they have evidence and have audio and all that. We could do this movie. Does that make it fake, though? Because what if it's real? You have to assume this is bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. Would we spend 10 years making a bullshit movie and then put it out and call it Extraordinary the Dave Block Story? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And then while we were watching this, real quick, now we're about halfway through the movie right now. So we're about, I'd say, halfway through the podcast right now. I Googled Stan Romanek, And then I put Snopes behind it because we have a this thing here where we always like to go see what Snopes has to say about everything. I was just curious if Snopes was going to say, yeah, this guy is not real. He's whatever. The first thing that comes up, you put Stan Romanek and Snopes into Google. It's a UFO enthusiast now facing child pornography, which is kind of interesting. You want to look at it real quick, Dave?
Sure.
Of course, it'll take an hour and a half to fucking load, but...
Goddamn
Snopes. UFO enthusiast now facing child pornography charges is subject of Netflix documentary. Stan Romanek, a prominent self-proclaimed alien abductee, says his computer was hacked in a government conspiracy to silence him. Well, that's a good cover. I'm going to use that one when I decide to get into child pornography.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was arrested. Pretty clear. Looks like a...
mugshot, yeah.
Stan Romanek, a prominent 54-year-old UFO enthusiast who claims to have been abducted by aliens several times, is set to face trial in Colorado on charges of possessing and distributing child pornography. Romanek gained a certain newfound renown ahead of his July 31st, 2017 trial date. Oh, so this has just happened. When Netflix released a feature-length documentary recounting 15 years' worth of alleged extraterrestrial and supernatural encounters. The film was made in 2013 by Seattle director John Sumple, but not added to Netflix until July 2017, ironically the same month he's going to court, which in turn exposed the documentary and the man to the streaming website's nearly 100 million subscribers. The film is a series of vignettes without voiceover narration, all of which are presented as mesmerizing evidence, dating back to 2000, and dozens of home videos, photographs, and interviews, often accompanied by dramatic classical music. Director John Sumple presents evidence of unidentified flying object sightings, encounters with little green men in Romanek home, flying orbs, ghostly voices, and the purported alien abductions that have brought him public attention in the past. The body of evidence is primarily made up of easy-to-fake, even occasionally laughable images of aliens and mysterious faces appearing in the background of photos, lights in the sky with mundane, likely explanations, and the standard material of UFO hoaxes, lawn circles, abduction flashbacks, revealed under hypnosis and abduction wounds. Indeed, Romanek's claims have been challenged or debunked on a few occasions. In 2009, he was asked by ABC News to submit a purported alien implant in his leg to medical examination. When the time came, Romanek claimed it had disappeared from his body. The Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Group recreated a famous video produced by Romanek purporting to show a little green man peeking in his window. Looking great to me.
Yeah.
The group's claims they reenacted the video for $90. And in 2015, Romanek was forced to admit that he faked moving objects that appear in the background of an earlier interview. Maybe that orb that he was seeing. In a further twist, he explained the hoax by claiming that authorities had intimidated him into discrediting himself. Starseed. This particular UFO yarn goes beyond the norm, however, as if to address the obvious question as to why Romanek has been singled out for attention by extraterrestrial visitors over the years. The documentary presents a bizarre narrative with the 54-year-old at the center of a shady, benevolent conspiracy to protect him from his own stubborn curiosity after he moves into the backyard of a group of aliens in Colorado Springs.
Well, there we go. Now I know where he moved into.
This is manifested in a series of phone conversations with a disembodied woman's voice in a clipped upper-class English accent who addresses Romanek with the apparent codename Starseed. "Now listen, Starseed," says the voice. "You know you are different. Follow your instincts and stay alert. This is too important. Soon it will all be revealed, and Starseed, do not be afraid of what you are." At the same time, Romanek presents himself as being the target of an equally shady conspiracy to silence him, finding himself victim to hacking, harassment, intimidation, and even assault. There are fleeting visits and phone calls from mysterious little girls. One named Kioma introduces herself as one of Romanek's 9 alien daughters, 7 of whom are duplicates. At the documentary's conclusion, spoiler for the rest of this podcast, Stan Romanek is presented as a prophet of sorts whose mission is to convey a spiritual message from a group of extraterrestrials in order to help humanity evolve. Is that not what I said it was probably going to end up being?
Yeah.
Sounds like we wrote this ourselves. The movie's epilogue is therefore all the more jarring. On February 13, 2014, a subtitle reads, "Stan Romanek was arrested on child pornography charges." Wow. It's coming up. Several of these girls are very young and unmistakably children. Yeah. Romanek and his wife Lisa deny the charges and have claimed their home computer was hacked in an effort to silence him and warn other experiencers, alien abductees, not to speak out. Authorities tell a different story. Romanek was arrested on a warrant that was issued on February 12, 2014. A Loveland, Colorado police press release reads, "The warrant was further progression of an 8-month-long investigation of the online sharing and possession of child pornography that included the execution of a search warrant in April 2013. The search warrant was executed at Romanek's home and followed several tips that were provided by Homeland Security that were then investigated further by Loveland Police Detectives and the Northern Colorado Regional Forensics Laboratory. 2008, Homeland Security Special Agent Daryl Franklin discovered images traced from a peer-to-peer file-sharing network to Romanek's IP address, which showed very young girls being sexually assaulted, according to a Loveland police report cited in a Huffington Post investigation. Local law enforcement were hamstrung in their ability to investigate further, however, because Loveland police did not have a cyber crimes unit at the time. In 2013, Franklin allegedly found child pornography once again could be traced to Romanek's computer. The report reads, "The pictures contain images of girls that spanned an age range of approximately 5 years old to approximately 12 years old. In each of these photos, the girls are posed in a seductive manner and are exposing their breasts and genitalia. Several of these girls are very young and unmistakably children." This time, the recently established cybercrimes unit was able to serve a search warrant on the Romanex home in April of that year, but lead investigator Brian Koopman found the computer's hard drive had been erased. However, investigators later reportedly found hundreds of images depicting child pornography on USB sticks and similar videos on a laptop, and Romanek was arrested in February 2014.
Doesn't say this is false or true yet.
We're getting there. The trials of Detective Brian Koopman. That erased hard drive prompted the next bizarre chapter in the saga, when it emerged that Tammy Fisher, a former Loveland police officer, had befriended the Romanex during 2012 and 2013 and had met them as well as exchanged text messages with Lisa Romanek at critical times during the child pornography investigation. Koopman suspected that Fisher had tipped off the Romanex to an impending search of their home, culminating in the hard drive being wiped. He subsequently applied for a search warrant on Fisher's phone records, but the investigation of his former colleague did not progress. Fisher then sued Koopman and Loveland Police Chief Luke Hecker, alleging malicious prosecution without probable cause, and accused Hecker of improperly training and supervising Koopman. After a protracted legal battle, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit ruled in May 2017 that a district court had been right to dismiss Fisher's case. Adding fuel to the Romanex claims of police and government corruption and cover-up, Detective Brian Koopman has been the subject of other allegations in the intervening years. In April 2016, he was eventually cleared on charges of attempting to influence a public official as part of a 2013 murder investigation, the Loveland Reporter Herald reported. The testimony in question is one in which Koopman discussed a Walgreens surveillance video in a preliminary hearing to establish probable cause for the stalking charge pressed against Wallace. Koopman said during the September 2014 hearing that Wallace was in the store at the same time that Gray and her friend Gabrielle Burlingham were, approximately 3 days before Gray was murdered in her home. He filed a corrective affidavit on the same day Wallace pleaded guilty. Prosecuting attorneys argued he lied in that document when he stated the various reasons for his initial inaccurate testimony. In January 2017, a U.S. District Court judge dismissed a long-running lawsuit against Koopman by Joshua Myers, who claimed the detective violated his constitutional rights during a 2007 arrest on suspicion of running a meth lab when Koopman was an investigator in the Larimer County Drugs Task Force. The investigation collapsed and Myers was released after a lab test revealed that a substance seized during the arrest was sugar, not methamphetamine. Stan Romanek has pleaded not guilty to the charges against him. His wife Lisa has vowed to make extraterrestrial conspiracy theories a part of the trial, saying, "We will be taking ufology into the courtroom. It remains to be seen whether Romanek's attorneys will also make the trials of Brian Koopman a part of the defense." There is no true or false.
Doesn't even say unclear like the other ones do.
Right. Well, this one's just...
Which is weird.
What's odd about that? Okay, so... His wife's in denial, no?
Yeah.
He's claiming child pornography was put... Okay, now, let's take the leap.
Mm-hmm.
If you were trying to silence somebody, whoever you are, let's say you're part of that Majestic 12 that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Their whole purpose is to shut people up. If you're trying to shut people up, wouldn't there be one way to do it? You'd get his ass in fucking jail?
It's one way, but...
There's other ways to do it.
They would kill him.
They
would
kill him.
Yeah, they just flat out kill him. Yeah. Or they disappear his ass.
Right.
You know, I don't buy
this.
Why
would you just put child pornography on his fucking computer?
What was Jared doing?
Well, for Subway. He wasn't involved in UFOs.
I'm just saying, was he that we didn't know about? Was he UFOs or some other type of government thing?
I mean, that's something to look into.
You know, something other topic.
Well, I mean,
Jared, but
there's also a whole big child pornography or child, all this Pizzagate shit, too. That's a whole different thing. He's not, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't see him tied to them.
And it wasn't something that's going to get him put away for life. It's something that gets you in jail for a while.
Yeah, but, okay, let's stick with that leap that the government did frame him. We all know that, like, child rapists, child pornography, those people don't make it in jail. So they didn't want to prove that he was onto something by killing him. So, yeah, they put this on him with the hopes and dreams that someone will kill him in prison.
Or they could actually put a hit out on him in prison and say, hey, we'll give you less time. You kill this fucking guy.
Or
not less time, but you'll get... We'll make sure you got cartons and cartons of cigarettes coming in. You don't got to pay for.
Yeah.
This is a show.
Make it worth your while. All of a sudden, you get conjugal visits with prostitutes and shit.
Or something. Now, granted, this is from Snopes. And I don't buy much that Snopes has to say. But it is odd that it's saying at the end of this movie, it says that in the movie, in the epilogue.
Yeah.
So, it's... I don't know. There's a YouTube video here. It says, Stan Romanek admits faking alien activity during an interview.
Another crash and burn.
So let me look up. You know what? It's odd that Snopes would be the only one that says anything about this child pornography. So let's type in. And then we'll get back to the movie here.
Yeah.
Stan Romanek child pornography.
DailyMail.co.uk.
Stanley Tiger Romanek goes on trial for child pornography. Should we read it?
When is it dated? So did they wait till he goes?
Married UFO enthusiast 54, who has repeatedly claimed he was abducted by aliens and was profiled in 2013 documentary, goes on trial for child pornography. This is why I hate fucking clicking on these goddamn... Why you have to run so many fucking ads in the background? That's so irritating, dude. Okay, alright, go fuck yourself. I'm over. As soon as it wants to do shit like that, I'm done.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't even give it a fucking chance. I almost want to take note of every ad that's on these websites, and specifically never
go to their
thing, anything that ties to them. So use their ads against them. Yeah. You're advertising this? I will refuse to use it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyways, I don't know, dude. It's odd that there's not a whole lot of other articles concerning it. That seems kind of strange. We had one from Snopes, one from Daily Mail, and one from Wikipedia. Which, I'm sure the Wikipedia one might...
Yeah, but the Wikipedia one, anybody can add on to, right?
True, but I'm curious what it says. Oops. Let's put in trial. See if that garners... Coloradoan. All right.
Collegian?
Coloradoan.
No, the one underneath it, too. Collegian.
I don't see it.
Right there.
Oh, Collegian?
Yeah.
That was 7 days ago. That was July 28th. That's July 29th. That's the one that was 5 days ago, that other one.
Oh, there's an Uproxx.
That's everything you need to know. Trial begins.
That's USA Today.
7 days ago.
Well, scroll down.
Fucking
right there. Stan from the UFO Chronicles. Stan, the trial begins Monday, 7:31.
Right. So it began...
A week ago.
I wonder where we're at this point.
I don't know.
And why isn't it getting a whole bunch of attention from, like, the UFO community if they're bringing UFOs into the case?
Yeah. Do you think they'd be why has nothing happened since then? I mean...
Yeah, the most recent is 5 days ago, the one that fucks up when we click on it.
Yeah.
Well, 3 days ago from UpRex, but it's not really... It's what you need to know.
Yeah.
Maybe we try it. Everything else is a little bit older.
It's been a week, yeah. But nothing... Well,
2 days ago, right here. See what this is. And then we're going back to the movie. Promise.
Yeah, I like UpRock, so they're usually pretty decent.
Everything you need to know about Stan Romanek, the subject of Netflix UFO documentary. Dave, I don't know if I like UpRock. It's not working.
I've never had a problem with it before, but I always do it on my phone.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Holla.
All right. Don't need to read all that shit.
That looks gray, not green still.
Yeah, I don't know where they got the green thing. Oh, Snopes can't get anything fucking right, so. Romanek's criminal trial finally started this week after several delays, which helps explain the timing of Netflix releasing the documentary as interest has once again been revived in the case. The UFO enthusiast is being charged with felony allegations of possessing and distributing child pornography after hundreds of images and videos recovered from devices seized during a 2013 search of his Loveland, Colorado home were found depicting children posing nude or engaged in sex acts. The case is unusual in that Romanek's credibility as a UFO expert and abductee is as much on the line as his innocence or lack thereof, as the entire crux of his defense rests on whether or not he was indeed framed by a covert government agency. Well, you're never going to win that fucking case.
Nope.
Even if you are correct. But complicating matters is that Romanek himself has at times undermined his own credibility, admitting in a 2015 radio interview to faking moving objects in his own videos, which he later apparently claimed he had done so due to intimidation by authorities. Why would an authority do that? I mean, I guess I could see that. Kind of.
Well, I mean, like, the times that he said he was beat up and said he was supposed to stay shut up and quiet and shit.
Right. Adding another layer to an already bizarre case is that the lead detective investigating Romanek, Brian Koopman, who initially received a 2013 tip about Romanek from the Department of Homeland Security... Well, these run-on sentences are unnecessary. Which had first investigated Romanek back in 2008 when an agent found images traced to Romanek's IP address via a file-sharing network, has had his judgment called into question on several occasions.
Which we already talked about.
Yeah, Koopman was sued, yeah. Okay.
So, wait a minute. Why though, are these Netflix documentary series on government conspiracies? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Making Murder, Steve Avery.
All right.
Netflix documentary, and it's all about government conspiracy and how they, you know, the cops had it out for him. This here, he's saying that the government had it out for him because he's telling the truth about aliens, documenting it, so they're going to fucking frame him for child porn? I don't know.
Didn't they try a child porn angle with Avery, too?
Yeah.
Maybe it's part of their MO, because here's the thing. Government things are all wrapped up in the whole Pizzagate child pedophile thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would have access to the most pictures, the most ability to provide
their
the pictures.
MO, that's what they're into.
They could just pull from their own fucking databases and put it on people's shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder. There could be a connection here. Although the rest of this shit seems a little hokey. And I can see how you could just go that angle. I mean, let's think about it. If I was guilty of some crazy shit and I have a history of all these conspiracies and all that, I could say easily, and maybe I'm talking myself right into my own fucking fate, but you know what I mean? What if we're onto something and some shit like that happens? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, there's child porn on my fucking computer that I've never looked up, never obtained, but it's there. All of a sudden, my shit comes in, they take everything, I'm being charged with this shit, I go to prison, get killed because they think I'm a pedophile, when all I'm trying to do is a podcast proving my thoughts, opinions, and evidence that we've obtained that expose a whole bunch of shit. You know what I mean? I mean, in that respect...
Well, I'm going to say it right now. It's August 7th, 2017, right?
Yes.
I do not like child porn. I do not like fucking kids.
But are you going to kill yourself at any point in time in the future?
I'm not going to kill myself either.
Okay. Well, I'm the exact same thing. I don't like child porn. I'm not into child porn. I don't obtain child porn. I don't trade it. I don't have anything to do with it. And I have no intentions in committing suicide.
Yeah.
I also don't have any intentions in anything that seems abnormal in that respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if this podcast never gets released...
Yeah,
And some crazy shit goes down. I don't know. Maybe we release this one fast, like tomorrow.
Yeah,
but I don't
special
know.
Special breaking news.
Let's see if there's anything else in this article.
The 8-day trial is expected to wrap up next week, and will likely get
and which
more
is this
desire.
Week. Yep. That, as we're recording, out,
given that the following his 2014 arrest, Romanov's wife Lisa, who ardently stands
ardently.
By her husband, promised that she would be taking ufology into the courtroom.
So, I guess, you know what, we're going to have to, I will actually continue as I, we let's finish this movie now and see where it goes, and as we lead up to releasing this, I'm going to see if there's any updates, because I'd like to add that, and then maybe at the end or something, some sort of an update.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you may be on call to come record something real quick.
That's cool. You know where I live.
All right, let's continue playing the movie.
This is physical marks and physical problems and physical interaction. The person that's the closest to you knows whether you're lying or not, and she is...
Not necessarily.
Actually, she and the family, all the family... know that this is a real phenomenon. Now, whether some of it has been done to him to confuse him and half of it is disinformation or some of it is copycat, we don't know that. But we know some of it is real.
Do I believe everything that, you know, that's happened to him? Absolutely not. Because I can't investigate
that?
Everything that's happened to
that's
him.
That's Chuck Zukowski.
But I'll tell you
what is
out
he?
Of all the things that he's claimed that's happened to him, even if you believe 40%.
He was shown earlier, though.
That's enough.
This is the first time I had his name
that's
on
enough
it.
Right there. Just that 40% is enough to you know to believe that you know he is an actual abductee.
The sighting. This is the one with the sighting, maybe.
Maybe
more on that.
This light.
Oh yeah.
Just explodes onto the ground right next to the house, and starts coming up towards.
You could do this from a tree.
The video camera
or from the roof
or
a
ladder.
And you see these what
now,
look
the
like
camera,
salt bubbles start
know.
Flying.
Somebody was
around,
sitting there fucking
and,
with it.
It almost looked like there's a little
they're
bit
turning
of steam
the camera down.
The grass when the light hits the grass.
Too.
And then pretty soon the video camera was taken out, and I came back with a bloody nose and peeing blood. And later that morning.
Hang on. So if you were to fake that, don't you think your neighbors would notice? All right, why is this fucking guy climbing in his goddamn tree with a spotlight, and why is this other asshole, his wife, on a ladder right up next to the house, behind, kind of set behind the camera
mm-hmm.
at fucking 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night with the video camera? Or you know, what are they doing? Now, don't you think as a neighbor you'd question it
yeah.
and be like, come out now that the movie's not like, I'm their neighbor and I saw them do this fucking goofy shit and I was always wondering what the fuck they were doing. So, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, because when I filmed my very first short film, scary movie I called, no, what did I call it? Oscar Mayer. Remember that one
mm-hmm.
where the dude gets stabbed? The neighbors behind her house were outside smoking or whatever and they saw that and they actually called 911.
You had cops show up?
No, my dad was working, and he got the call and said, no, my son's doing some film movie thing. Because he called me while we were filming it and asked me what was going on.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah, well, neighbors will see shit and
that's
will call.
Or at least come out now. You know, why wouldn't the neighbors come out now? It's funny. We were doing backyard wrestling at one point, and from afar, neighbors saw 20 kids in this fucking park. What appeared to them looked like a fucking big-ass fight. It was a fucking fake wrestling match that we were doing in a park, and SWAT team actually showed up.
Shit.
We have it all on tape.
Wow.
They showed up, they got out of the car, and then they realized they just had been called, thinking it was a giant fight at a park, and it was some kids doing some fake backyard wrestling.
That's awesome.
And then we had cops laughing once they realized what it was and got in the cars and drove away.
Wow.
But yeah, here's the thing. If you're like... I mean, what they were doing in this video, this footage, doesn't look like anything you would call the cops for.
Right, right.
But don't you think as neighbors, you'd be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Right.
I mean, especially that late at night. You know what I mean? This guy comes out talking about UFOs. If you saw them doing this, I'd be like, yeah, that's bullshit. They faked it. Mm-hmm. Then the sighting gets changed the very next day and all that. Now, the fact that the sighting gets changed, but the landlord didn't have anything to do with it and the company doesn't exist, that piece is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have hired people to come in and do that.
Right.
But why would he want to re-site a house he doesn't own, too?
Right.
Which is odd. And I don't know if I would personally go that far to fake a fucking story. Mm-hmm. So that piece is odd. Give him that.
Yeah. I want to try something. I know it's halfway through the movie. Move the mouse. Sorry. No. Hit play. Move the mouse.
Hit play and move the mouse?
Yeah.
I woke up. Hold on. I went to go check
hit
to
the space
see
bar.
Why the camera's...
There you go.
Oh, okay.
It worked on my computer. You know what? Maybe you can do that. That way this fucking thing's off there.
Then I can, okay.
Just hit, there you go. Why the cameras stop working.
Good job, Dave.
Because we saw on the video, you know, this amazing event took place and the beam of light hit the ground next to the house. But it stopped working, and I wanted to go see what the heck happened. So I went outside, and I noticed this. It's as if where the beam of light hit the camera, it cleaned that whole area of sighting in this perfect, like, arc. And it literally melted the sighting. You could see where some kind of heat warped and kind of browned the sighting a little bit, especially up toward the camera. And it also killed the grass below. Now, when they analyzed the sighting, it cleaned the sighting somehow or pulled the dirt out of the sighting all the way through the molecular structure of the sighting itself. The very next day, I was going to collect a piece of sighting because it was my day off and Lisa had to go to work early. And I woke up 8 o'clock in the morning because I heard this pounding. It's like, what in the world? I went outside to look and there were two guys had taken down my surveillance camera and laid it in the grass and they were replacing the sighting of my house. I was pretty upset that they touched my surveillance camera and what the hell are they doing replacing the sighting? I tried to get a hold of the landlord, but the landlord was on vacation and I asked these guys, what the hell are you doing? Said, well, your landlord wants us to replace your sighting, so it's, I had no way to check right away, so I let him do whatever. And I go, well, I want a piece of the sighting, and I started rummaging through, and they got really irate. They said, no, absolutely not. We got to keep every little piece of it because we got to prove to your landlord we replaced the sighting. I knew instantly that there was something fishy about that whole thing. Well, about a not quite 40 minutes had passed, and all of a sudden I heard a shop vac going. Well, I came running outside, and they were shop vacing the yard. And when they weren't looking, I grabbed a piece of siding. Even before then, I went and got my video camera because I wanted to videotape the whole incident because I didn't trust what was going on. And it's weird because they wouldn't look at me. I got them to tell me what date it is and made small talk. And they didn't even look at me to see that a video camera going. They just refused. They always had their back to me, constantly trying to turn their back. And when I purposely walked around to face them, they'd turn away. And so I grabbed a piece of siding, and after about 45 minutes, they shot back the yard. And I thought they went to lunch and were going to come back. They disappeared. It says, Bob sighting from Grand Island, Nebraska on the side of their truck. And all they replaced is where the UFO beamed my surveillance camera.
Wasn't he in Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
Let's look up. What was the town in Nebraska?
I don't know. You just rewind it, but it was Bob sighting in Nebraska.
Let's see, 4313. Let's get it. All right. I'm just going to say it again.
It is, and made small talk. And they didn't even look at me to see that a video camera going. They just refused. They always had their back to me, constantly trying to turn their back. And when I purposely walked around to face them, they'd turn away. And so I grabbed a piece of siding, and after
Grand
about
Island.
45 minutes, they shot back the yard. And I thought they went to lunch and we're going to come back. They disappeared. It says Bob sighting from Grand Island, Nebraska. On this.
All right. So I Googled Bob sighting Grand Island, Nebraska. Obviously, there's the connection to Stan Romanek in the Alien movie here that we're watching. Bob sighting installation, Edgar, Nebraska.
Yeah, and The one above that has Grand Island in there.
This one here?
Yeah.
I don't know what this website is. Manta.com? Have you ever heard of Manta.com?
No.
Oh, it's back to Edgar.
Why did it have both in the thing, though?
Let's see if we can scroll down.
Call him.
Bob Messerly. I won't give the phone number out because I don't want people to fucking...
Right.
Google it yourself if you want to fucking...
Fucking Manta.
God, all these websites. I'm so irritated with every fucking website. You can't do any kind of fucking research. All right, I'm more curious...
Well, there you go. Citing licensed contractors in Grand Island, Nebraska.
AllTheNebraska.com? This one?
No, right below it. And it's got Bob Aarons. And it lists Grand Island, Nebraska in there.
But that's not Bob's siting, though.
No.
This is. I wonder what this is. Let me click on this one. It's Edgar. Edgar must be near Grand Island. Is that what it was? What was the fucking town?
Grand Island.
Right, well, I would say... Well, he's saying it doesn't exist, though, right?
Yes.
But here it is. All right, I want to do a map...
I was just Googling it on my phone.
What I want to do is see how far Grand Island is from Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's where he lives, right? At this point in time.
What's the E one, Edna?
Edgar. Edgar, Nebraska. So
we're gonna... All right, Grand Island to Edgar is 63 miles.
All right, it's like if you lived in Rockford, let's say, and you had a landlord who maybe lived in Chicago. He had his guy from Chicago. He'd send his guy out to you, right? Probably.
Yeah.
All right, so I could kind of buy that. Now, what I want to see is what this place looks like.
It's 474 miles from Grand Island, Nebraska, to Colorado Springs.
That's a bit far.
6.5 hour drive time.
From Grand Island to...
Colorado Springs.
What was 63 minutes then? Edgar to Grand
Edgar
Island.
Edgar to Grand Island, yeah.
It's not the same thing then. But the 4 hour drive, no company's driving that far.
6 hours and 37 minutes.
To change one side of a one house. Mm-hmm. That's a long drive, and you got to pay for that fucking drive there and back.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay for 14 hours of drive time and however long they were there. Bullshit. I don't buy that. So this isn't... That seems odd, too. Now, he's saying this, so I almost buy his story here.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to... Because that doesn't seem...
It's not plausible.
Well, it's a stretch. That's for damn sure. Why is this not pulling up? I swear to God, I've never had so much fucking trouble. Edgar, Nebraska. I want to see what this... Because you look up Obama's address in Hawaii, and it's the middle of a fucking highway. I'm just curious if this is like an actual... There's a fucking... How do you get Street View? Just click on it?
Yeah, usually.
It's a fucking neighborhood. There's no businesses here.
Maybe they do it out of their house.
There's a church. Yeah, there's... Oh, it's in the middle of an intersection. Saying this right here. This house right here. Let's see if we can see a fucking address on anything.
Can you zoom in? No.
I don't see any numbers there, do you?
No, either, no.
Let's see, maybe the mailbox?
Nope. On the street? You know they do it at a curb? Nope.
Yeah. It's amazing the technology we have. It's interesting. I was in Madison the other day, and I saw a Google car driving by.
Okay. So,
oh, look at that.
Are we doing 708 or 807?
807.
Because the last thing you looked at was 708.
807.
Okay.
But yeah, now it's got the... See, that's... Oops, what the fuck?
God damn it.
But, see, this is taking you right to the intersection. There's really no...
I wonder if it's because there's no 807.
But why is it listed there? Bob Sign and Installation Company is listed at 807 North B Street. I almost should fucking call them, dude. I'm curious. I'm sure they get lots of calls because of this fucking movie, mm-hmm. though, and they're mm-hmm. probably irritated. Or it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But they're obviously running it out of their house.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob's Siding, and if this is even the same one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So that's that. But there is no Bob's Siding from Grand Island.
No.
There's...
See, that's weird, because it's got it listed right there, but it's not.
Right.
You know?
Then you'd think it'd be like Lost Park and McChesney Park.
Mm-hmm.
Close. But it's mm-hmm. a fucking hour away. So it's like Rockford and Chicago
right.
close.
Schaumburg.
Then that's not that close, but it's close. I could see him sending that. I don't see a landlord sending somebody 6 fucking hours to do some work. His guy, you know what I mean? It seems like you'd be charging quite a bit for that. All right, let's keep it up and...
Side of the truck. And all they replaced is where the UFO beamed my surveillance camera. That's it. When I called the landlord said, I didn't ask for them to side the house. Why are they siding the house? I hope they don't charge me. So, and then the investigators looked up Bob's siding from Grand Island, and there's no such thing. No such thing.
So basically, he's just getting interviewed about the
this
movie
weird now. British-sounding mm-hmm. voice left a message for us saying that it wasn't safe to live in Colorado Springs. And, you know, I thought somebody was joking around, but honestly, I wished I would have listened, because not long after that, I was riding my bicycle to work, because I didn't live very far from where I worked. And this black SUV kind of pulled up alongside of me as I was riding, and I heard them say something. It's like, oh, great. You know, drunk military types trying to start trouble. Because there's a lot of military bases in Colorado Springs. Well, I ignored them and kept riding. They were stopped behind a car at a stoplight, so I just went up and over an embankment and drove into the parking lot where I worked, and I was going to go around the building to lock up my bike. Somehow these guys knew exactly where I parked my bike, because they found a back way to get into the back parking lot where they cut me off. It was a guy on the passenger side gets out of the car and says, you need to keep your mouth shut. And I look at him, I said, I didn't say anything to you. And I knew these guys were going to start trouble, and you could tell they were definitely some kind of black ops or military just by the way they looked. He started shoving me, and I kind of fell off my bike a little bit, and I heard him talking about the alien stuff, and I said, I can't shut up about this stuff. That's ridiculous. And so he started swinging, and we got into a tussle, and, you know, I grew up in Southwest Denver, so I kind of know how to fight a little bit. And then the guy behind the passenger seat, there were 4 of them all together, got out and did all these kung fu karate kind of moves. And I actually laughed at him. I think it kind of pissed him off a little bit. But he came at me, and I had a bike chain wrapped around my seat that I locked my bike up with. And I just started wailing at him. And I honestly thought I killed him, because he was on the ground jerking around and shaking really hard, like he was having convulsions or something. And I felt this intense kind of weird tickle pain thing on my lower back, and I hit the ground. And this, as this was going on, people were driving by watching this happen.
somebody called the police. The police were there almost, oh, geez, within 5 minutes of these guys picking up their buddy and throwing him in the van, their whatever, SUV, and taking off.
Like
come to find out, they actually tased me.
Yeah,
told you.
And that's why I fell to the ground. And one person tried to follow them and lost them. So there was a police report made and ended up with a broken wrist and a broken nose. And no, I wished I would have listened to that to that call.
They fixed my leg.
This probably was the most significant event for me out of all of this that's happened so far. I'm still waiting for something more impressive to happen. It started out, I was painting the eave of my house. And I had grabbed for a brush to kind of brush the old paint off the eave. And I kind of fell off balance a little bit and literally fell 12 feet onto the ground, and I tried to catch myself. Trouble was, there was a wheelbarrow full of bricks just right beneath me, and I twisted my leg just right and tore the anterior cruciate ligament in my hamstring of my right leg. Went to the doctor. They told me I was going to need surgery that next Wednesday. I think it happened on a Friday, so I was going to need surgery that next Wednesday. I had to wait through the weekend and everything. Tuesday night, something happened, though. Usually when I get taken, what will happen is, for whatever reason, whatever power or whatever technology they use seems to blow the circuit switches, blow the breakers in the house. So Lisa woke up in the middle of the night because I was gone and all the breakers were blown. She could hear the breakers go or something. I don't remember exactly what woke her up. But when she tried to find me, I was completely missing. I was gone. I was nowhere to be found anywhere. She looked everywhere for me.
I was probably
she eventually
fucking
got
the,
all the breakers flipped back on, all the lights back on, and she came in the house, and I was standing kind of dazed in the middle of the living room. Now, to me, I woke up and I was looking for Lisa. In reality, I was already missing and Lisa was looking for me. We didn't really give it any more thought. We didn't give it a second thought.
Why?
We decided, you know, we'll just
that's
go back
odd.
To bed. You know,
even if it's happened 100 times, that's odd.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next morning, Lisa, I couldn't work because of my knee, so I was off work. And Lisa had to get up fairly early to get ready for work. So 6 o'clock in the morning, she got up.
Spacebar.
And she noticed this circle.
Now, I have a really good relationship with Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not married yet, but they're married, this couple here.
Right.
He was supposed to have surgery that day on his leg. Why the fuck would she go to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a valid point. I mean,
that's what you just said. She's
because
going to work.
How's it going to get to surgery? How's it going to...
Veronica?
Yeah, I guess maybe Veronica's going to suck his cock on the way to the hospital and then...
Something. On the way back home.
I mean, yeah, you make a valid point there. I hadn't really thought about that. But then again, you need... Yeah, you need someone to drive you there, obviously drive you home, unless... It's not like he's going to drive himself there and then...
Mm-hmm.
Unless she dropped him off on her way to work and then was going to come back afterwards. It's not like a surgery that you would probably not come out of.
Right.
All right, well, let's see what he has to say.
In my yard. And it kind of looked like the same circle that we had in our yard from a prior abduction. Now, what's interesting is Lisa woke me up to come look at this circle. And she was looking at me weird, and I walk up to the window, and I'm looking. I said, that's just crazy. How'd that get there? And Lisa goes, do you notice anything different? I go, yeah, there's a damn circle in our yard. She goes, no, do you notice anything different? I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about? So she goes, come here. So I walk over to her and it's like, hey, where'd my knee brace go? Where'd my cast go? And how come my knee doesn't hurt anymore? And how come it's swollen anymore? And why in the hell do I have 5 holes in the back of my leg? There was hardly any bruising left. My leg felt a little stiff, but after a while it stretched out. No pain. No pain whatsoever. Well, they found my knee brace a few hours later when the researchers came over on the side of the house, literally melted into some bricks.
You wouldn't go outside and find that yourself?
I know, right?
You had to wait for researchers to come over and ironically find that. It's almost like a planted device that you lit on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that makes it seem odd. Why would you wait for researchers to come over to discover it?
Right.
Why wouldn't you say, we found it there, here's a picture of it, all that. And then researchers backed that story up. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's that part, just the way that was done, you wouldn't wait for that.
I know.
Including the aluminum rods were all melted. And that was like a fire pieces poker. Of it were found in the field behind our house, and some of it on the swing set that was in our yard, as if this thing was thrown out of some high place and it just landed on the side of our yard. Well, the funny thing is, I had to call the doctor to explain why I didn't need surgery. And I remember calling, and I left a message for her, and she called me back because she was off work. She called me back, and she said, Stan, I understand.
Why in the fuck was your surgeon off work the day she's supposed to give you surgery?
Not only that, but why in the movie was it a guy?
Yeah.
That they were talking to about his leg.
And now it's a woman.
Yeah, and she was off. Yeah. A lot of holes in the story all of a sudden.
Mm.
He's, like they said, you better just shut up because your story was better without you talking.
Understand you're really frightened about getting surgery. But if you don't get this surgery, you're going to be a cripple the rest of your life. You'll never be able to use
it's
that.
It's fine. He's a retard anyways.
I said, look, I can't explain it. And I wasn't about to explain that I was taken by aliens and they fixed my leg. There's no way I'd say that to her. She'd think I was nuts. I said, I'm just going to have to prove to you I don't need surgery anymore. She goes, all right, I'll tell you what. I'm not at the office right now, but my associate's in the emergency room. I'll call him, set it up. You go see him in the emergency room, and he'll tell you the same damn thing I told you. It's like, okay, fair enough. Well, I went to the emergency room, and my wife brought a tape recorder, and we recorded the whole conversation. And this guy had no idea how it was possible that I went from having a torn ACL to not having a torn ACL. And what kind of miraculous thing could have done this? At first, he said those holes in the back of my leg could be bug bites, but then there's no rivets in my... He didn't have any explanation. And then he said, suggested that we call the Ghostbusters to come figure out what was going on. And I never told him anything about the ET stuff. He just assumed.
Alien in the window.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to
This
me.
Video was pretty much the piece of evidence that put me on the map. It's also the one I get the most, what's the word?
Crap. Flack.
Most crap for, basically.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, the debunkers try to, and the skeptics just will pick that thing apart. How it originally started, I got married, moved to Nebraska, and I was living in a town called Kearney, Nebraska.
And find out how far Kearney, Nebraska to that is.
Yep. We were thinking what I was thinking. Okay.
Oh, see, I just type in how far.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like to go to maps and
look at it. Yeah. I just take Google's word for it.
Kearney. Oh, Kearney. It's Kearney. Kearney. They must say Kearney.
Interesting. The second bottom one is where my grandma and grandpa lived.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, on actual Kearney?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's spelled K-E-A-R-N-E-Y. I don't know. I wouldn't pronounce it Kearney. I would pronounce it Kearney?
Kearney, yeah.
Or something? All right. So, Kearney, Nebraska. Now I want directions from Kearney. From Grand Island. Nebraska. To there. And activate. 53 minutes, 42
and a half
That's
miles.
That's a straight shot.
One street, 42 and a half miles. Now, he's saying that he was in Colorado Springs when and did the camera thing, right?
Right. Or are we incorrect on that? Because it was it the house in Kearney, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Now, if he was in Nebraska when the camera thing happened, this is way more logical.
Plausible, yeah. I don't think it's the same house.
Well, let's see. Maybe they
looking
show
at
it.
Pictures and shit. I don't think it's the same house.
Dude, it's hard to tell because this is all inside with a little fucking alien peeking through their goddamn window.
And I was watching TV and got up to get a drink of water when I noticed movement outside of one of the windows. And it's like, why the hell would somebody be looking in our window late at night? And then the first thing I thought was, oh my God, we got a peeping Tom trying to see my stepdaughter. This literally went on for months, good 3 months, maybe four. Called the police, neighbors knew about it. It got so bad we set up little booby traps outside. And every time, we heard a noise, we had a bat by the door and we'd run outside, but nothing. One day, one of the researchers said, hey, you've got a Sony Hi8 camcorder with night shot on it. Next time you see movement out of one of the windows, grab your tripod, point it toward that window and see what you can catch. Well, it happened, and I grabbed my camcorder and put the camera on the tripod and pointed it toward that window. And I went to the bathroom. I was sitting at the edge of the bathtub reading a magazine because I really wanted to catch this guy. I wanted to give him a little time to look in the window. And I was reading the magazine, and there were two flashes of light. And the second flash of light was so bright, it almost blinded me, and I had the door almost all the way shut. It's like, holy crap. So I looked, and I kind of ducked back, and then I kind of looked again. I see this head pop down, and it's like, yes, I got him. Finally got the little son of a gun. And I went to go look out of the window to see if I could see this guy, and I saw what I thought was a small child running toward the backyard. Whatever it was, clipped the bush next to the house and stopped as if it heard me or something and slowly looked back at me. What's interesting is I thought it was a full moon because I had a real good visual of this thing, whatever it is. And come to find out, there was no full moon, so it might have been something else over our house that night.
See, no, stop it for a second. That's what's weird. No, why in the documentary part that we saw that, did he not mention the fact that this little alien thing knocked or clipped half of his bush? You know what I mean? Like, why is he telling it in this remembering story, but it wasn't in the documentary? You know?
Right.
Granted, it was after the fact that he ran outside to find the guy, but why wasn't that part of it? It should have been part of it, I think.
Well, and the other thing that he was saying, I mean, it was a minute or so ago, but he was saying the thing how he thought, well, what is this, looking in at my stepdaughter? This little thing, this, somebody's trying to look in at my stepdaughter.
Yeah, he kept saying it was a peeping Tom, right?
That's a kind of odd, if you want to tie in the child porn thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know, maybe not, but I've not heard anything else about any stepdaughters until that point.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Lisa's true. Not mentioned any kind of kids,
yeah,
having kids or anything.
Other than the nine children, alien children.
Right. It's so kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to find something else out of... I don't know. But should I hit play?
Yeah.
I was kind of staying away because my stepson had friends over for a sleepover. I didn't want him to get in trouble.
Now
I woke
son.
Up because I heard a noise. I had one eye open, and I'm sitting there going like this, and I see a naked figure run into my kitchen. I'm thinking, what in the heck is my stepson doing? I thought his friends dared him to do something, and I was going to go find my camera.
There's your child porn.
Bullshit.
There's your child porn.
You would not go find your camera to film your son running the house fucking naked going after your stepdaughters.
Yep.
You would not do that.
Yep.
No. I'm sorry, now I'm getting angry because this doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, let's see how it explains himself.
To blackmail him because I wanted to catch him on camera.
But that's where that's where the child porn goes, man.
You're going to blackmail your own kid.
Stepson.
Stepson and stepdaughters?
Yep.
You're going to blackmail him.
That's what he just said.
Dude, that's a stretch. I have a real hard time believing this. No. I know.
I went upstairs, and they were still asleep. I kind of woke one kid up, opening the door. I said, I heard a noise, and then went back to sleep. Went back downstairs.
He's lying. At this
made sure, you know, there was nobody messing around with me. I was just about to turn off the camera when I see this figure looking at me through the sliding glass door, blinking, moving. It's like, that's got to be somebody in a costume or some kind of puppet or something.
So why didn't you go outside and fucking investigate it?
Instead, he turned the camera off.
Instead, you fucking dick around inside your house trying to look out a fucking window that's above the goddamn sink that's way too high when this thing's down lower than your goddamn kitchen chairs. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is nonsense at this point. And the only reason he had to come up with a fucking connection why he would have his camera to the whole story, he thinks it's this boy running around his house naked. You wouldn't... If I get woken up in the middle of the night, and I open my door and I see a naked body run through, whether it's my kid or the step kid, my first thought isn't, oh, I gotta get my video camera.
Gonna blackmail him.
And then secondly, gonna blackmail him. Like, if you're already thinking that, you got some fucking issues with your goddamn step kid or right. kid. And then, but there's a bigger problem here. You wanna film somebody naked run into your house. But that's the leap he had to take in order to justify why he would have the camera on to then fake the fucking alien looking through his...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I got closer, he closed his eyes.
I want to punch the guy in the face right now. No wonder he's gotten his ass beat so many times.
As if he was trying not to make a sudden move, he slowly just moved off to the left and disappeared. It's like, holy crap! So I'm looking outside to see if... You know, there's somebody...
You wouldn't. You would go out there.
Like a puppet or something, and there's nothing. I went to the kitchen, and there were maybe 3 flashes of light that you can see reflecting off the windowsill of the kitchen. And I woke up on the ground 45 minutes later, only remembering seeing the flashes of light. I didn't remember actually seeing the being in the window till I looked at the VCR.
The girl by the tree.
Having a party up at their home. And it was a book signing party. A surprise party for Stan.
One of the things that we try to do is make sure someone is with Stan all time so that if something does happen, if he sees something, that there's a witness there.
It was raining outside, and I was looking out the window, you know, being really grateful for the friends I had, when I noticed this little girl at the edge of the driveway.
Stan had seen the little girl outside, and it was raining. He's like, come here, Victoria, look at the little girls out here. And I'm like, Stan, it's probably just a neighbor kid. Just get in. I'm not going out there. It's raining. You know, and it was after that that I said, I will never not pay attention if Stan Romanek says, hey, look at this. This is unusual.
I had my porch light on, and it illuminated the yard up enough that I could see this little girl standing in a gray jumpsuit at the edge of the driveway. She had dripping wet hair, and I'm thinking, it's 9 o'clock at night, it's raining, this girl's wearing a jumpsuit. What parent in their right mind would let their little daughter out in the rain like this? And why is she wearing a jumpsuit, and why is she staring at me?
I remember Stan going outside. He said he wanted to go outside for a little while. And it was.
I like when they do green screen interviews with the green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put anything behind it.
Kind of funny, because then my friend Rick comes over and he goes, where's Stan? And I said, he went outside. He's like, is he alone? And I said, yeah. And he's like, oh,
his beard's really weird, dude.
Let me know whenever this happened. So I went outside immediately.
I was looking for a flashlight. All I had was my camera, and I was using my camera as a flash because I wanted to see what this little guy wanted.
The camera guy's not very good. On the green screen shot, you've got this little white thing on the side, and on his shot, you've got the white thing on the side. You see it? Far left side of the screen, there's like half.
That's the computer.
Oh, well, it's only been in a couple of shots.
Mm, Maybe he just never noticed it.
Yeah, I just seen a couple shots. All right, never mind.
Yeah, that's not a camera guy. All right. But there's, dude. The more I watch it, the more I get angry.
He went away again. And it was by chance that I clicked the camera just in time to get a picture of her looking from behind a tree, looking out from behind a tree. And I was so dumbfounded and amazed by this picture. All I could do was sit there and stare at it.
He had an odd look on his face, just dumbfounded.
Yeah, now I see it again.
And I joked with him. I said, "Hey, Stan, how are you? Doing okay?" He didn't respond. He just looked at, he stared at me.
And I was speechless. I couldn't say anything. He goes, "Stan, are you okay?" And I just showed him the picture. He goes, "Oh, my God. You have to show everybody this picture. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen."
When we got back into the party, I told everybody, I want everybody to listen for a second. And I said, "I need everybody's attention right now. Something appeared to have just happened outside, and I'd like every one of you to look at what's on the camera here."
And her eyes were really large. They were very large, almond-shaped human eyes, but very, very large.
It was more than a photograph. She was on top of that camera, emoting emotion.
It was a moving picture. Moment.
I'm hoping they show it.
Many people just started crying. They didn't. There was something so profound about what appeared may have just happened.
So this was really strange, and we're all, you know, kind of freaking out about this. Everybody had taken a look. So I kept telling him, "Let's get this on the computer. Let's get this on the computer."
Everybody said, "Go put it on your computer. Go put it on your computer so we could see it bigger." I took two steps down the stairs to go to my office. Beep.
Deleted.
The pictures disappeared.
We checked. It was off the camera. Not there. The shots before it were there. The shots after it were there. Every single person that was at that party saw it before it disappeared. And then he received a phone call.
And then 2 minutes later, the phone rang, and somebody handed me the phone, and I answered it. "It's Daddy. Don't worry, I love you. I'm okay." I started just crying and crying and crying because I knew in my heart that it was.
He resembles in
a
way.
And it all come flooding down.
Nicholas Cage.
I was thinking Colin Farrell in the eyes.
Yeah, I could see that too. I think it's the nose and the hair.
Was the girl that
Nick Cage.
Was there at
maybe the
party.
Mouth even. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Goatee is Colin Farrell. "I accept that there may be things far grander and more incomprehensible than we can possibly imagine." Richard Dawkins, ethologist. Validation.
All right, let's get some validation up in this bitch.
Hell yeah. Investigator Insight.
When I ran across his video of his first UFO sighting, I was really intrigued. Plus, I was part of MUFON, and I noticed that they had one of their investigators look into it. So really, I kind of, since it was some of the best video I had seen, wanted to look more into the veracity of the video. And I found that it was very credible that the MUFON investigator had found there were several witnesses to some of his first sightings.
When you only have a first-hand experience, only one person, isn't that really much you can do with that? That's not the issue. That was never the issue with Stan. There's just so much information out there. It's almost overwhelming.
Stan's story is incredible also because it has so much proof. It has so much credibility. I mean, he has not only photographs, films, videos, he downloads formulas. He has it all in that story. That story is a goldmine for an example of perfect contact.
There are aspects of the case that are very solid, that it would be impossible for Stan to hoax.
Stan is being used to give a message also. I mean, he's being used to say it's real.
The stuff that I've seen, the evidence that he has, that I looked at, and the people that I've interviewed around him, wow, yeah, he's a real deal, no doubt.
scientific relevance.
My name is Claude Swanson. I'm a physicist, undergraduate degree in physics, MIT, class of 69, PhD in physics from Princeton, class of 76. I did engineering consulting with the government through consulting companies for 20 or 30 years. What got me into physics was my real true love, which is what's called unified field theory, which is like the theory of everything. It's like the deepest questions of science, how things really work. For me, the enduring thing is that if you put together this particular set of equations, you'd have to know a lot about physics. Okay, and from what I've seen of Stan, he doesn't. You have to know a lot. And there aren't many people who know, who would be smart enough to be able to choose these particular equations and put them together. Most people would pick a random set of equations, you know, or they pick something that looks complicated, that maybe has no meaning to it. These equations actually relate to propulsion and faster than light travel. I mean, I think one thing that they give is a sense of credibility to Stan, that these equations are beyond what he could come up with on his own. Then they are an indication of a higher intelligence interacting with him. The more I have looked into them over the years and the more I've figured out different pieces of it, the more impressed I am that they seem to actually describe how they do some of the things that we find anomalous, how they go faster than light, how they get from some distant star to here. In our current science, even maybe 20 years ago, those things were viewed as impossible. What's been happening in the past 15 years or so is there's a group of leading-edge scientific thinkers who seem to be following along a similar path, who... and they're not the mainstream scientists, but there are more and more indications that seem to back up the equations that Stan has been writing. So there's a trend here, a growth that kind of says, you know, these might really work. One of his equations relates to a solution that was found in the 90s by a physicist named Alcubierre, a Mexican physicist, that is the first proposal for how you could take gravity and make faster than light travel from it. He found a solution, a mathematical solution, that gives you a warp drive. Okay, that's what they called it. Now, it involves some conditions that are not realizable in our current physics today, but still it's a step in that direction. And as you look more into it, you find, and that's one of Stan's equations. And as you look into it, the other people, Putoff and Robert Dickey, whose equations also show up in Stan's work, they're also working on the same idea, how to change space-time in ways we didn't know was possible before. Right now, what I'm picking up is that there's a theme. And the theme is that it is possible to get from there to here. Our present conventional view is we couldn't have ET visitors because it takes too long for them to get from there to here at the speed of light or less. But suppose there are ways of warping space and time or going faster than light. And that's what some of these equations are hinting at.
Is Stan crazy?
Fuck yeah.
First name is Stanislav. My middle name is Gergely. My last name is Ojak. I have a PhD in clinical psychology. And I have a background in engineering, architecture and design, industrial design, and education, headmaster private school for gifted children. I administered, with his agreement, with no one else around. His wife was in that building, as was my wife. It was a home of a mutual friend. There are about five other people. And they're in the remainder of the house, and we use this office. The doors were closed, very private. I asked him a series of questions to determine, to my interpretation, his coherence, his intent. Is he there to bribe me intellectually? Does he want me to set up some kind of an assessment or analysis to glorify who he is? I look at all those issues.
I gave him some document. I said, okay, now I want you to take these tests and answer them at whatever speed of mind. Don't worry about the length of time. You can, but you can't ask me any questions. And he said, okay. So he took the post-traumatic stress disorder assessment, and it shows that it has a very high degree of stress related to something. Now, it could be related to his marriage. It could be related to something he refers to as a UFO experience. I gave him a personality test, which is called Myers-Briggs, in order to be able to understand his personality relative to himself and the way he answers questions. I also gave him one for his ability to recall things for memorization. I gave him one for interpretation in regards to lying. I outlined 27 different questions and how he answered them. And I watched what he did with every test, because that's part of the assessment. How did he take it? Was he eager? Was he frustrated? Was he focused? Did he ever stop and lean back? Or did he ever hit the table? Many things that might show frustration. He did all five tests very calmly. And when it was all through, it took, as I recall, almost 2 hours. When it was all through, he said, I'm through. How am I? I said, you look okay to me. He said, me, I said, I haven't assessed the test yet. How can I answer that? It's okay. Look at him, tell me. I said, it'll take longer than that. Because I have to look at him carefully and do an assessment. He said, can you just tell me, am I crazy or not? Can you say that? I said, yes, I can tell you. From my perspective, you're sane as most people, if not more. You merely have had more experiences that confuse others more than they confuse you. And what I explained to him, norm is not something that we can all agree upon. So we have to have a norm which to agree upon. So if you're asking for my norm, are you normal? The answer is yes. If you ask many other people, the answer is no. In fact, they probably call you weird or liar and that things. I said, you do not lie. You do not to me. Your experiences are real. I have a lot of proof for it. Therefore, you're okay.
If you're a pathological liar, wouldn't you be able to beat one of those tests?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because just like with a polygraph test, if you, in your mind and body and soul, believe that what you're saying is right, you're not going to give the stressors on your polygraph test, and it'll show right. that you're telling the truth.
Right. So I think you can beat these tests as well.
I agree.
I don't know. The more... I guess at the end, I'll give my final thoughts
okay.
at this point. But
yeah, it's almost done.
Yeah.
The Messenger.
My name is Leo Sprinkle. R. Leo Sprinkle,
oh,
PhD.
Sprinkle.
I'm a counseling
name.
Psychologist in the state
Sprinkle.
Of Wyoming. I teach self-hypnosis to people who wish to learn the techniques, not only to relax the body, but to focus the mind. So from a standpoint of general mental health, these techniques are useful. Some people may not like the word hypnosis, so if they don't like the word hypnosis, let's use meditation or daydreaming. Image rehearsal for athletes, goofing off for teenagers. the task is to assist a person to recognize that within each person is more awareness, more knowledge than he or she may consciously be aware of.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being insignificant, 10 being the most significant ever, where does Stan's...
9. Stan's
case... Can you finish the question?
Is important from the standpoint of everyday people who want something that they can put their hands on. There's a photograph, you know. Here's a telephone call from an electronic voice that can't be traced. Here is a equation that the physicists are puzzling over. That kind of information means that Stan, as a person, doesn't have to be honest, doesn't have to be nice, doesn't have to be likable. He is nice, and he is honest, and he is likable, but he doesn't have to be because he's got all this information around him. He has been willing not only to share the photographs, the films, the phone messages. He'd been willing to work with other people and write books and to create film so that not only his story, but the people who are with him, their stories, are being documented and being shared. To me, it's part of the ongoing process. So my view is if a person has several sightings, and then they have a job, they have a task, they have a duty, they have a chore, it may be merely to recognize it and accept it and talk about it with friends and family, or it may be something beyond that. And so with Stan, the fact that he had already been willing to go through hypnosis, the fact that he had already been willing to talk about it, and the fact that he had information beyond what most people have, and that he's dyslexic, all of those things said to me that he is a messenger. And so that's why I asked him when I was with Alejandro and with him and Lisa, do you think of yourself as a messenger? And he said no. But as he talked to his wife and as he went on further, then he began to realize he may not think of himself as a messenger in the sense that he has a message. But it's just like when I was a 10-year-old kid, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm riding my little bicycle and I'm delivering newspapers. I don't know the reporter, I don't know the editor, I don't know the publisher. I'm just delivering the news. And he's delivering the news.
And the message is?
He's probably a vehicle for some group or some race to give a positive message to the planet. But, you know, he's human. So we get all the human stuff, and then we get all the starseed stuff together. And he has a purpose. He has a mission. And I think his story is fascinating, and I have recommended that this is the ongoing contactee case people should look at.
Remember Paula Harris asked me some years ago, why don't you think people believe in UFOs or want to? And I told her, because people have no place to put it in their mind. There's no reference. It is of such importance or significance that it would force a person to reconsider all their foundational beliefs.
Mm-hmm. As we've been saying for a long time.
Religion, who we are, what we are, why we're here. People aren't prepared to go through that mostly. It's much easier to go along with the herd and I've got plenty of things I want to do or have to do and I'm busy, busy, busy. It's amazing how many people witness unusual events and rationalize them and go about their daily routine. It's our nature. It's the most comfortable thing to do.
I mean, I think that there's a growing number of people who are taking an interest in the larger definition of who we are as human beings. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people who've had near-death experiences, who've been dead clinically on the table, the operating table, the heart operations, things like that. They've experienced the other side, as they would say. There's a uniformity in what they're reporting, that there is another side, that we are, they come back saying, we are powerful spirits here in these physical bodies trying to have a human experience. There are these higher dimensions, okay, and we're all kind of learning and growing in these experiences. And a lot of what they say seems very consistent with the lessons that are coming out of these ET contact cases, trying to learn who we really are as human beings, to expand our own consciousness, our own understanding.
Bottom line, even Stan, I think, understands this, that the group, and there's several groups visiting the planet, the group that he's involved with have some kind of spiritual message, some kind of evolution of humanity that they want to happen.
At the soul level, this is big time. Because in my opinion, our souls are recognizing that this is a crucial time for humanity and for the planet. And so if we can bring ourselves at the human level to work together, to collaborate, not only with ourselves, but with the ETs, and then I think it's well worth it, and it'll be worth celebrating. Yeehaw.
People always ask me, would you do this over again in a heartbeat? I would. In a heartbeat. Because I've learned exponentially, and I get to
to look outside the box.
His responsibility is to simply share his story, what he's experienced. And if it helps people who are in the same situation, that's very important to us. It's all about getting the message out.
Every person, whether we are researcher, whether we're investigator, whether we are viewer, whether we are a contactee, or whether we're a fan or a foe of a contactee, each of us has our story, and each of us is unlocking inside. Why am I afraid of ETs, or why do I love ETs, or why do I wonder about humanity? Each of us has our own story.
I have definitely gone from ignorant, you know, disconnected, frightened, to enlightened. I have. That's what this is about. That's what my message is about. There's more stuff out there. And we, it's time for the human race to grow up. It's time for the human race to know who they are. It's time for the human race to understand that there's more than just themselves. It's really easy, but it's very daunting. All we have to do, the human race, is understand that we're not alone, and it changes everything. But trying to get thousands of years of, you know, society ripped out of you is going to be tough, because we've been taught these certain things through religion and through all these other control mechanisms that we're supposed to think this certain way, and it's not benefiting us at all. And so, you know, the message is, there's more out there, and it's time we know it. It's time to grow up and take responsibility for who we are.
We're being asked to grow up and to be more in contact with the spiritual side of ourselves. And I mean, to me, that's what this whole process is about. It's about growing up and taking on a more mature and a much larger view of who we are and how we fit into things.
You know, from the bottom of my heart, I just want to help the human race. It's just, you know, I get lost sometimes. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I just try to wing it as best as I can. But really, when I realized my role in all of this, I felt honored to be a part of it. And I still feel honored to be a part of it. And I pray every day that I can somehow make a difference in what happens to this wonderful race, this glorious race, because it's important.
Epilogue. On February 13, 2014, Stan Romanek was arrested on child pornography charges. I could have guessed that was going to happen. He vehemently denies these charges and claims to be the victim of a setup. Before you judge too quickly, .. NBCNews.com, framed for child porn by a PC virus. Man hacks neighbor's Wi-Fi to frame them for child porn and more. NSA to frame you by infecting your computer with child porn. Huge false flag underway to shut down internet media. Document shows FBI ICE sets up users with child porn. These are all headlines, by the way.
That's by InfoWars, too.
Yeah. New computer virus ruins hard drives, frames you for child porn. PC users framed by virus collecting child porn. New virus can install child porn on your computer. A lot of articles, bro. Breaking attempted setup of Stuart Rhodes and Dan Johnson with child porn. Luke Rutkowski. Nice. Was Stanley Romanek set up on child porn charges? In the United States of America, a defendant is innocent until proven guilty. Stan will have his day in court. Yes. It's happening right now as we speak. And he vows to bring his extraordinary experiences and the circumstances surrounding them into the courtroom. The intention of this film is not to answer questions, but to stimulate new ones. Go forward. Challenge conventional thought. Wonder. And above all else, ask yourself,
what if?
What if this is all true? Well, what if it's all true, Dave?
Well, it's kind of what we've been saying this whole time, man. On everything, not just this, everything we talk about.
Right.
What if?
Hmm.
It wouldn't change anything for me.
If it's all true, I find it very interesting that so many things seem so fake. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm just trying to think, like, alright, so before this last 7 minutes went by, and I was going to say, well, I'll wait till the end to, you know,
yeah,
give my thoughts. Ultimately, what I was going to, it looks like a fucking egg being thrown across the,
they're
scrolling through pictures while it does the credits is what, so we're watching and I'm trying to fucking... Okay. So, my thoughts were... So this guy is a fucking... Probably got a porn addiction, into child porn. And he also is interested in UFOs, aliens, all this stuff. And he's come up with a way to utilize the UFO alien thing, he's being abducted and all this, as a cover so he can have an affair with this lady, and he's also interested in it, legitimately interested in this stuff, so there's a legitimate interest in it. It justifies why he can have a fucking video camera and try to film his stepkids running around naked or whatever the fuck, and blame it on aliens or that he's got to catch these UFOs or whatever. And he ultimately got caught with child porn on his computer, and he's still maintaining this this whole, like,
whoa,
what?
It was shot in location in Laramie, Wyoming. I have relatives there right now.
Yeah. What are they doing there, Dave?
Construction.
Oh yeah. Have them look into this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wonder that. So that was my initial thought. It was, this whole thing's a cover, so he can, you know what I mean? Or could it be that he wants to spice his life up a little bit, fake some of this alien stuff, the orb stuff, the camera stuff. You know, it does a lot of stuff that it would be easily faked.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's got a interest in child porn, and he just kind of all got mixed in together, and whatever. Or he didn't fake any of this shit. The child porn was put there to frame him, get him in trouble, whatever. He's gonna come out guilty on this court thing. I would be shocked if he leaves this whole court thing clean. Shocked.
Oh, he's not going to.
There's no way. And if you take UFOs, abductions, all this bullshit into the fucking courtroom, they're going to laugh him out of the fucking room.
They're going to make, that's going to be his, like, insanity defense.
Yeah, that's about the only thing he's, the only way he's going to get, but they're not even going to fucking give him the insanity, because insane people don't go after child porn.
Right.
In the way he would, was supposedly, or it was found. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to get anywhere with that. Or, this is all 100% true. You know, like this is all... Well, I guess I kind of said that. Like, this is all true, and he was set up. I don't know. I have such a hard time believing that. And not that you couldn't be set up with child porn. I mean, you just saw all those things, and clearly there's something going on there.
Right.
With this virus. That's a good way to, like, discredit people. Fuck people over. Because if you're speaking truth and all of a sudden you get a virus and it's throwing child porn on your fucking computer and ironically, you're just getting, they show up and want to take your computer. Oh, there's that child porn all of a sudden just found there.
Right.
You're instantly discredited. Do you know anybody that's got child porn that you would want anything to do with?
No.
Exactly. So even if what they were saying was true and legit, they're completely discredited right off the, right then, yep. right there. You know what yep. I mean? So that could be, I mean, I can even, buy that part of it. But
even if he gets off it, let's say that he can prove that they fucking framed him, they're still going to think of him as a fucking child porn guy.
Yeah.
That got off on a technicality.
Once you have that, you know.
Stigma.
Stigma.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really leave. You know what I mean? Like, when the subway guy gets out, he's never going to fucking work again.
Yeah, no. No. He'll work for Pornhub.
He'll I don't even think subs. Pornhub would fucking bring him in because they don't want to be associated with child pornography. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, there's just too much about this. Once you start getting to the weird, goofy pictures that seem fake, even if yeah. you take that piece out of it and say, all right, what are these orbs and things like that? There's some questionable things with it. But if you really start to, like, break shit down, you and I could probably go and at least copy or imitate the same things.
We've got two alien masks that we could use.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably do a fair shake at trying to mimic
mm-hmm.
and duplicate this. Well, like that one article said, that these people had mimicked his hoaxes for $90, and they were able to duplicate basically what they think was done that he did, okay, mm-hmm. to fake this shit.
Right.
I think we could probably do the same thing. Does that discredit it 100%? I'd say it discredits about 99%. There's always that one chance that what if right. it was done that way, and what if it is real? This are actual video or pictures of aliens, and they're presenting themselves in a way that makes it look fake.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that it's so easily discredited. What if? That's the only leap I think I can take here.
Yeah.
Is that.
And not only that, but like, out of all the supposed sightings and abductions, why is he the only one that has footage of them?
True.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other people that have had their abductions, then do those regressions, the hypnotism and all that, and they describe things and all this, but they don't. Nobody's got footage, nobody has anything else of them.
Yeah, as shitty as the footage is, and as corny and cheesy as it is, what if?
Yeah.
But on the same token, like, why him?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Why the whole phone call thing with the computer thing, well, we've done that. We can do that. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
A lot of this shit isn't that hard to do. Well, we could probably remake this movie for $2,000.
Yeah.
Pretty close. And it wouldn't be identical. It might not be as perfect. But we could probably do it. In not that big of a budget. You know? We were talking about the hypnotism. Mm-hmm. I don't buy any of that shit. This where you can get yourself to a state of mind where you're asleep, but yet conscious to the point where you're speaking on memories. That the way I see it is you're being very creative right now verbally. You're being asked to recount something. This event that supposedly happened to you, but you can't talk about it like right now. Right. You have to be in it.
You gotta be, can't do it awake. You gotta be sleeping.
I don't buy it, dude. I don't buy the people that get hypnotized and go on stage and cluck like a chicken. I don't buy it. It's, you have to be.
But remember, you hypnotized me once.
Well, let's be honest.
Peel it back.
Yeah. We do a lot of stuff as a thing on here, as a joke on like Rock Vegas, things like that. But this.
Yeah.
People that, I have a hard, until I've actually been hypnotized and you can videotape it and I can watch it back and have no recollection of doing it, legitimate no recollection of clucking like a chicken or whatever, walking around like a dinosaur, I'm not going to believe that.
Right.
I just have a hard time taking that leap. I know people out there that say, oh, I've been hypnotized, it's real.
but they also, too, want to be hypnotized, and they believe in that
shit.
And
that's what I've always said. You have to want to, and you are playing along. I'm sorry. Yeah. You play along. I don't know, dude. It's... Well, this one seemed a little more far-fetched. Now, the interesting odd pieces involve you, the situation with your dogs and all that. Me, mm-hmm. with the nightmare-type thing, the dog barking, those sounds, the head feeling fucked up. Like, I would like an explanation on those. I'm not going to sit here and say I was abducted or right. whatever. I don't know what happened with that. That was very odd, and I still am questioning that. There's something strange about that piece in time
mm-hmm.
while this I was watching this movie. I didn't have any issues today. There was nothing that was off or whatever. And I got more irritated, I think, with this movie watching it.
Right.
None of the shit really checks out. There's odd things about these locations and whatnot. I don't know. It's all goofy. The whole siding thing, like,
mm-hmm.
if that's true, how come these neighbors, we're not hearing about anything from these neighbors watching him out there doing goofy shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'd like to talk to all his neighbors, because I think if you went and interviewed all his neighbors, you'd get some neighbors that'd say, yeah, they're in the middle of fucking night, they're out there on ladders with flashlights and mm-hmm. doing goofy shit, you know what I mean? Like, either way, we're recording this on August 7th. The trial is going as we speak.
Right.
His child porn trial. I'm going to keep watching it every day. Once we have a verdict, you and I are going to come back and we're going to do just a little bit on that.
An outro for this.
An outro. Mm-hmm. With that verdict, and that will be placed at the end here. So for the listeners, it's going to seem seamless, but there could be a day or a week in between that piece of it. But we will have an update at the end of this podcast with whatever came from that. And I guess we'll give our final thoughts at that point. But
yeah,
at this point, I don't know. I want to call bullshit on all of it
mm-hmm.
at this moment, or at least 95% of it.
Yeah.
That's where I stand at this moment. All right. So, in a few minutes, for a few seconds here, we'll have the rest of the story. Okay, so the headline is Alien Abduction Author Stanley Romanek Found Guilty on One of Two Child Pornography Accusations. So, let me read the little article here. Anger toward a Loveland police detective was expressed in an interview by Stan Romanek after a jury convicted the 54-year-old of one count of sexual exploitation of a child while acquitting him of a second similar charge on Tuesday. The jury's verdict comes 3 years after the arrest of Romanek, a Loveland resident, on child pornography allegations, several decisions on litigation involving witnesses in the case, and 5 days of testimony in a trial. Romanek, who has claimed to have been abducted by aliens and is considered an authority within the UFO community, faced two felony charges of sexual exploitation of a child, one alleging he possessed child pornography and another accusing him of distributing child pornography. The trial gained publicity due to Romanek's status in the UFO community, and a documentary released to Netflix in July depicting how his UFO claims have affected his life. Ultimately, the 12-member jury decided it had enough evidence against Romanek to determine he knowingly possessed child pornography on his computer, but that he did not knowingly disseminate the illicit images and videos through an internet file-sharing program, as he was acquitted of the more serious of the two felonies. Testimony in the case came from two witnesses who were once on opposite ends of a civil lawsuit stemming from Loveland Police Department Detective Brian Koopman's involvement in the Romanek investigation. Koopman led the probe into activity on Romanek's home computers and was called to the witness stand several times during the course of the trial, and Tammy Fisher, a former Loveland police officer who attempted to sue Koopman, also testified. Fisher's lawsuit claimed she was wrongly accused of a crime by Koopman after police heard Fisher befriended Romanek and his wife Lisa and allegedly alerted the couple that they were the subjects of a child pornography investigation. The lawsuit, though, was dismissed by a federal court because Fisher was never formally charged with the crime. Koopman was also the defendant in another civil lawsuit settled by the city of Loveland on his behalf and was acquitted of criminally lying in his police work, stemming from an unrelated case in a trial last year. Stanley Romanek's defense lawyers attempted to persuade the judge at this week's trial to allow testimony about the litigation Koopman has faced from Stacy Lynn, a woman who has followed the cases involving Koopman and spoken out about them before Loveland City Council, but the judge limited Lynn's statements to include only the opinions she has formed of Koopman through her interviews with community members. The fact that Lynn's testimony could not admit details about the allegations Koopman has overcome was not critical to the prosecution team on Romanek's case, Deputy District Attorney Mitch Murray told the Reporter Herald. I don't believe it was crucial in any way, Murray said. I don't think this criminal prosecution should be used as any kind of statement about any of the previous litigation against Koopman. This case was about the evidence that we had showing a crime was committed that we felt we needed to prosecute. Romanek, who will remain out of police custody on bond until his sentencing hearing October 19th, believes he would have been fully acquitted of both charges if more evidence about Koopman's past would have been given to the jury, though. The guy is incredibly corrupt, and he's getting away with this stuff, Romanek said of the detective, and the only reason I think we didn't win is because the DA didn't allow us to bring in all the evidence against Koopman. Romanek's defense attorney, Elizabeth McClintock, said she will recommend to Romanek that he appeal the conviction and hire new defense counsel to handle the appeal case, which she said is standard advice. McClintock said Monday before the verdict that Koopman's credibility may be reexamined by another defense team. It's one of those issues that shakes out in the end. Eventually, if it's a real big problem, somebody will address it at a later stage, McClintock said. Both Elizabeth McClintock and defense attorney Ted McClintock were careful to deter witnesses from speaking about Romanek's status within the UFO community, raising objections when prosecutors asked witnesses who have known the Romaneks about whether they claim to have met the defendant during purported paranormal events. Bringing in statements about UFO investigations were not relevant to the case, Elizabeth McClintock said. The sentence Romanek will face for the sole charge is unclear, as most child pornography cases end with a plea agreement, according to Elizabeth McClintock, but it will likely involve Romanek registering as a sex offender. And the webpage is now frozen, so, you know, thank the internet for lacing ads within every goddamn website. But anyways, that's pretty much the gist of it. He gets his sentence on October 19th, and he was found guilty of basically knowing he had child porn on his computer, but not convicted of distributing it. So that's the update of the case. That's where it stands. Pun intended, Stan. Get it? But yeah, there you go. That's the way the cookie crumbles. So I think that wraps this one up. Dave could not be here for the little wrap-up. He has to go to work. So it all worked out either way. And see you next week.
been listening to the D2R Podcast Network, brought to you by Dream to Reality Entertainment. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the D2R Podcast Network on iTunes, give us a rating, and leave us a comment. We'd really appreciate it. Your word of mouth is our only advertising, so please do us a solid. Share us with everyone you know. Thanks for listening.